So welcome those on GoToMeeting. We have quite a bit more on GoToMeeting than normal because of that. They don't have their cameras on. I don't think they want us to see them today. They probably haven't had enough coffee. And we'd say welcome to the club. So before we get into praying for the sick, I just want to share something with you that was in my heart in worship. Gosh, sometimes he starts early, doesn't he? So there are times, right, as a pastor, and many of you are interceding for the body, but as a pastor, many times when I'm praying for the body and just asking him to move and asking him to have his way in the hearts of those gathered here, that he'll fill me in on what's going on and he'll give me understanding of what's going on in hearts. And as I was in worship this morning, there was such, I was not expecting this, but I understood there was victory in hearts today, in some hearts that were going to get a hold of some things today. And at the same time, I understood there was going to be some hearts that heard the message and didn't respond and hardened their hearts. And the Father gives us opportunity. He gives us free will to hear the message. And then we have a responsibility to respond or not. And sometimes he'll show us what the outcomes can be. If you obey me, things will be well. If you don't, then our hearts get hardened. So I just wanted to share that. Just if you hear the message today and he prompts you, if you see his manifest presence move today and he convicts you about something or there's more understanding that comes, you can go one of two ways. Is this okay? You can go one of two ways. And you can humble yourself and respond and he can move. Or we can hear the message and we can harden our hearts. We don't want to harden our hearts today. Amen? Okay. Did you want to add anything to that?
Maybe later.
Okay. Can I add something?
Yeah.
So good to be with everyone this morning. I don't know how many of you had a chance to go online this morning, but this morning I wrote a piece in the blog that we have, the Facebook and the Instagram, on the Twin Towers. And I wrote it just this morning. I didn't write it before. Part of it is in the books, but this is what was on my heart this morning. And at the very end, I said, you know, some people really struggle because they don't understand why Yahuwah will allow them to go through hard things, why really good people die in circumstances like 9/11 and the Twin Towers. Why he dies? Why does he allow this? And my heart opened up as I was pondering that and praying about that. And I realized, and I wrote it in the blog, you know, people are so consumed with grief, and that's understandable because that was a horrific event that has changed lives and taken many people from us, and people still struggle with that today, and we're coming up on the anniversary of it. But they don't stop to think about the grief that he has and why people do to each other the things that they do, the darkness in man that drives them to do the things that they do. They blame God for not stopping it. But he's given us all free will, and that's why I'm sharing this regarding what Pastor JJ said. You know what? He's given us a free gift, all of mankind, whether you follow him or not, of free will. And second to salvation, that is one of the most precious gifts we have, and people don't appreciate it. They don't cherish it. They don't look at it as a gift. They look at it as a right. Well, you can look at it as a right, or you can look at it as a gift. But what you don't stop to think is he's given that free gift knowing it's going to break his heart. And people don't carry his heart. And they don't carry his grief. They look at him like, you're to give me joy, and you're to get me out of fixes, and you're to make my life more comfortable. But do we really stop and think about how he feels? Now, the people that passed away in that horrific event, those that knew him and had salvation, they're with him now. So they're in an okay place. But the rest of us have to grieve. We have to grieve for what the loss is. But let me tell you something. He grieves every day when someone turns their heart away from him. He grieves every time you turn your heart away from him and you don't respond. He gives you the truth. He gives you life. He gives you the pathway to get through life. And then we get stubborn and turn our eyes away from it and we won't follow him. And he sees that. Do you think that grieves his heart? Every single time? Do we look at life the way he intended for us to look at life? Do we look at him the way he wants us to look at him? Do we walk with him in relationship so that he can share his griefs and his burdens with us and we can feel it the way he feels it so that then we will go out? You know, when people ask you, or they have all the commemorations of the remembrances of 9/11, when people express their anger, and there can be anger, they they express their struggle in understanding how Yahuwah would even allow this. You need to tell them he loved every single one of them, but he will not cross your free will. We all have a free will to do what he wants us to do, and then the darkness of this earth, which has even increased since that day, is going to take over this earth, and they need to have a hope, and the only hope they have is in him. And in what he gives us and carrying his heart of grief. I've always said many times, your grief will go as deep as your sorrow. If you only have one, either grief or sorrow, then you are not balanced. It's supposed to temper us. The grief balances the joy, and the joy balances the grief. If you don't have both, pursue the one you don't have in him. And he will share his heart with you in it. Let's just be fluid in his hands. Let's just respond when he calls us. Let's just give him what he wants to hear and wants to see today. Father, we just want to come before you today, and we want to give you what your heart's desire is for us as a people. We want to give you the turning of our hearts to you at every point. Father, we desire to feel your heart for the lost. We desire to feel your grief in your creation. And we want to move into the place of joy where we can give that hope that you have given all of us to those who are suffering. We need to see the suffering, Father. We don't want to see it. And many turn their eyes away from it. But we want to see what grieves your heart the most. And get in that place, Father, we will have the perspective. Give us your heart this day, Father. We will not trample on it. We will not treat it lightly, but we will deeply turn our hearts to you so that then you can fill us with your love, your compassion, your mercy, your salvation, and everything that you desire for us to walk in. We have your hope, and we will give it to you, your people. In the name of Yahushua.
Thank you, Pastor Heather, for that. That was excellent. Let me clarify what I was saying, too, that goes along with what Pastor Heather was sharing. You see two potential outcomes in the Spirit. We are always all accountable every time we hear the message, every time he moves on us, every time you see manifest presence, you experience it. And I understood victory, and I will say I understood the door is open for people to hear and not respond. So I don't want to pigeonhole people into anything. It's your decisions. Every time you hear the message, you're accountable. Is that okay? But there's freedom in the house today if we want to respond. Amen? Okay. So let's pray for a few people. Kevin, if you want to come up, and Pastor Vic, and then Pastor Doug, if you have anything. We'll pray for a few people by the word of knowledge. Go ahead, Pastor Vic.
I'd like to pray for you this morning if you are encountering or struggling with ringing in your ears.
I'd like to pray for you today if you have pain in your inner ear.
This is so interesting. So the very first thing that came to me was someone who's having pain in their ear, and it's like it's in the cartilage too. There's also someone having pain with like TMJ, like lockjaw. And I know at times that can radiate up to your ear, so I don't know if it's the same person. And there's also someone this morning, it's just this morning, you're having like a sharp pain in your chest that you were a little worried about. And if that's you, I'd like to pray for you. So go ahead, Ted.
Doug,
yes.
So if someone has pain in their mouth, it's either one or more teeth. It might be radiating. They might not know which tooth it is, but okay. There's pain in their teeth.
Pain in their teeth. Yeah. Tooth or teeth. Got it. Okay. Go ahead.
I have lots of ringing in my ear. And since the infection that I had, sinuses into the ear, I have varying ability to hear out of that ear. So the ringing is just constant.
Okay. Are you? Do you have it right now?
Yes.
On a 1 to 10, how high?
Probably an 8.
An 8. Okay. Let's pray. All right. Can you take my hands? Thank you, Father. Father, thank you. Thank you for calling this out this morning. I pray for my brother Ted. Father, I rebuke the ringing in his ears right now. I command it to go. I command it to diminish. Father, I pray for healing in the auditory nerves in his ear, and that it completely cease and go away right now. We thank you through your Son. We thank you that your presence is here to heal. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay? It was at an 8 before. How much better is it right now?
It's still there.
It's still there. Is it still there. Exactly the same?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
All right. Let's pray one more time.
Okay.
Let me just wait a minute. Okay. Can I give you a hug?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
About a 6.
It went down a little bit.
Yep, went down.
We're gonna pray one more time.
Okay.
Amen. All right. What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing?
We're going to stick your hands. There we go. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you.
Touch. Touch. Thank you, Father. Father, we rebuke the ringing in his ears right now. We command it all to go. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your great compassion. Thank you, Father. Father, we receive it and we thank you right now. Thank you, all of it. All of it. Go. Infirmity, release him right now. Infirmity, release him now. Go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay, once you check, what is it? One more time.
It's still about a 6.
Still about a 6. Okay.
Okay.
Can I pray for you again at the end of the service?
Yes.
We'll wait and see what happens.
Why don't you hang out up here for just a minute, too? What did it start out at? An 8?
I've had it for a long time.
Okay.
I mean, even when I was working at Boeing.
Okay.
But the infection part of it, that was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
But yeah, I just would appreciate even at the end.
Yep. Hang tight for a minute. Let's pray for Sarah real quick. You can come on up here. We don't bark too much.
I'm still having issues with the TMJ.
TMJ. Okay. Do you have pain right now?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it like constant pain? Is it every day?
It's constant. I'm almost like used to it at the same time. It's definitely like, it's like locked still and very painful, but I'm almost used to the pain.
Okay. Well, let's pray real quick.
So, okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10 right now, it's at a?
Probably an 8.
An 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's pray real quick.
Okay.
Is it okay if I give you a hug?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Father, right now, thank you. I just ask for your touch upon my sister in every way she needs. I command the jaw to open up. Father, and that this would function normal. Father, I just ask for one more testimony for this sister. Father, for her to share with others that you'd have your way. Father, we trust you in all things. Father, we surrender to you and we thank you. So have your way now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Why don't you check real quick?
It's still the same.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Has it gone down at all?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So here's what I want to do. So I'm going to turn this off for just a second. Father, we just lift up our sister to you again. Father, we thank you that you know. So, Father, I just ask that your hand would move today. Father, that your name would be esteemed in and through her. We do ask for complete healing and release. Father, that you would have your way. Father, thank you for how you move in our midst. Father, we give you all of the esteem today in the name of your Son. Amen. Now, can you check one more time?
Is it? I don't notice any difference just yet.
Okay. So mm-hmm. let's you and I talk at the end of service.
Okay.
And you think about mm-hmm. what we talked about?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I want to ask a question,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
How do you know you have TMJ?
I went to the chiropractor. I've actually seen a TMJ specialist.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah, and so the disc has, like, slipped out. They were telling me that I'd probably have to do, like, surgery or something.
Do you grind your teeth at night?
I am not fully sure about that. They were talking about needing to get me some sort of mouth guard, but it's that would be more to prevent it from getting to this point. Mm-hmm. It's at a point where a mouth guard wouldn't really help it at this point.
People who clench or grind, it causes mm-hmm. so many problems. So mm-hmm. you might want to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay.
And I want to step up for ringing in the ears. So I've had ringing in the ears for 20 years. Maybe longer, and it comes and goes. Right now, it's almost gone. This right now, but it does that. It'll come. Does yours come and go?
Sometimes it gets worse, and sometimes less. This morning, it's really yes. It is come and go, and today is bad.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Too much.
It's no, not at all. Anyway, so when you were praying, I thought, well, I've been praying for this before. But then I thought, I prayed this week, Father, because I took some medication, that's why I was gone last week, that really made it take off. Mm-hmm. And I went off the medication, and it went away, it went back. But I was praying that, Father, I'd like this to be gone for the ministry up ahead, because it affects your hearing, right?
Yes.
So the ringing, I don't know that it diminishes your hearing, but it definitely, it interferes in a way, because it's not a real sound.
I know.
Okay, you know, you have it?
I have it.
Okay. Well, don't give it to me.
Okay.
Thanks.
Can I take your hands?
I need them to steady
Thank
myself,
you, Father.
So.
Let me turn my mic on. All right, here we go.
Father, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Father, we rebuke the ringing in Pastor's ears right now. We command it to go. In the name of your Son, we command it to go. Thank you for touching him. All of it. All of it. Father, thank you that you are equipping him for the days ahead. And that he's already asked you concerning this. And we ask, Father, we just ask, we unify our faith this morning that out of your love and compassion, this be granted. We thank you for your touch right now. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. And through Yahushua, amen.
Thank you, Father.
How is it, Pastor?
Can't tell.
Okay.
It was so quiet already. So sometimes it's a memory.
Yes.
Because you don't know, so I can't tell.
Okay.
So, yeah. Did you feel that? Did it go woof?
Yes.
Did you felt that too? Yes. Was I moving?
You were.
Oh, because you started moving. I thought, why is he moving? I thought, maybe I'm falling.
I was going with you.
Oh, was I moving? Yeah, I could feel it. It's like it goes boom. Like this. I can feel
yes.
it.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Pardon? Oh, the teeth?
Yeah, I've got one. I got my wisdom tooth that's shattered.
Oh, man.
And causes a little bit of pain. And then I've got another one that's got a pretty good
it's
cavity.
Like it's radiating
in it.
Into it. Yeah. Okay.
yours.
Thank you, Father.
You too? Okay, come on over. You only get one hand. Well, actually, I don't even want to hold that hand. You got rough, tough hands, man. No, I'm giving you a hard time. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. You just have your way. Have your way. So we draw near to you, Father. We know you are drawing near to us. Thank you for what you're doing already. Thank you for pointing this out. Thank you for drawing them forward. Father, just have your way this morning that they'll know it was you without any doubt. We rebuke the pain. We ask for healing. Healing on Joshua's tooth, Father, that that fractured tooth would be restored like you've done before, Father. We just give it over to you right now. We ask for both of them for healing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So I want you to check and see. Did you have pain when you came up?
It's probably about like a 3. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what it is or just hurts?
Well, I wasn't going to come up because I wasn't sure if I had exactly what you called out. Probably have to go to the dentist.
Oh, you don't want to do that, huh?
Well, not all the time. No. So it hurts when it's like when I drink something really cold. Mm-hmm. Or.
But was it hurting when you came up?
Like a 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is it now?
Probably the same.
The same? Okay, we're going to pray again. How about you?
Jay prayed for me about 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it was like radiating so bad that I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
It hurt. But as of right now, it's maybe like a 1. If I mess with it with my other teeth.
Okay, so you said it's broken? The wisdom tooth is broken? Okay, so you remember our testimony about the woman in Germany where God just gave her a new tooth?
Yeah.
Okay, let's believe for that. Can you believe for that?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to pray again, okay? Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We rebuke the pain. Father, just touch them right now and bring restoration completely, mm-hmm. that neither one of them will feel the pain Thank anymore, you. That this will be completely restored. Father, we're asking for a new tooth for Joshua Thank that have you. A testimony, that he'll be able to tell others, Father, what you're doing and how you're moving. That Joshua will speak out to others. They'll hear what you have done in his life. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Okay, I want you both to check again and see if it's better.
The pain when I mess with it has gone down. Okay. I would say it was probably like a 3 before, and it's down to maybe like a 1, but okay.
When you push on it and stuff, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay, let's see if it goes away the rest of the day. Are you going to the dentist at all?
So I had an appointment to actually have it removed, mm-hmm. and for whatever reason, forgot about it because it was set really early in the morning. And
did you miss it?
Yeah.
Well, that might be okay. So that might be good, huh?
Yeah. As of right now, I do not have an appointment to get it taken.
So the gal in Germany was going in, and they were going to work on that tooth. And we prayed for her. She went in, and there was her tooth. She had a new tooth. Yeah. So, let's see what happens. Okay. And how are you doing right now?
As he was talking, it's going down. It feels like I don't know. I just feel him touching me.
No, that's great. That's great. So, what's it at?
Like, I don't know if I can even feel it. Maybe like a 1. I don't know.
Wow. Okay, this is great. This
and is I didn't tell anyone that I had this at all.
Well, somebody knew.
I know.
Okay, so let's see what happens. Okay? Okay.
We're going to pray for Roger.
Morning.
Morning.
Have a sciatic nerve that's acting up very...
Yeah. You have the pain right now?
It ranges from a 10 to, right, if I move any... twist or like that, and then right now it's probably just standing, it'll be about a 5.
Okay, so let's pray. Okay, can I give you a hug?
Sure.
All right.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Father, for what you're doing right now.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for this one and what you're doing in his heart in this hour. Thank you. Father, we just give you all of the esteem. Father, bring a testimony to your name that only you can do. Have your way. Thank you. You know, Father, thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Wow. Do you feel that? You don't have to. I'm just curious. Do you feel that when we're praying for you?
To be truthful, I didn't.
It's good. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. How's your sciatica? How much better is it? If you can check.
Just standing here, I would probably say it's probably between a 2 and a 3.
So it's gone down half from what it was.
I won't try twisting the test it yet.
You could try kicking Michael. No.
You only do that once.
Because
yeah, I know. I tried it. It's no good.
Because if it does, I'll be just standing here because it cramps up.
Yep.
And I can't move.
Okay.
So.
We're going to pray one more time. It's gone down half. Half is good, but we're going to pray one more time. Did you have anything before I pray?
Did I have anything to what?
Did you have anything before I pray?
We could talk to him about Ross. I don't know if Ross still.
He might listen online once. He's up in Montana.
Is he? So yeah. Ross came to service. How old was Ross? Probably in his.
When he started coming to service, he was probably 70, 75. So he was a young buck.
Well, by comparison now, yeah.
Yeah.
So Ross had come to visit, and he came to service, and he had this. And we prayed for him, right? It completely went away. And he was in shock because he'd never seen a healing or anything. He was just like, oh.
He was
so surprised. And he would come and tell people at every service, I got healed from this. And he would walk next to me. Doug prayed for me, and he grabbed my cheek. He goes, it was right there. And I'm like, every time I go, Ross, they don't need to see
and
this.
If
and,
Ross,
and I don't need to feel
if
this.
If Ross hadn't been an old.
I promise I won't do that.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, this was
well,
family.
I'm more jumpy now. People come, I'm just kind of like, oh, okay.
If right? Ross hadn't been an old war veteran, we would have said something, but he was good.
But it got to where every time he started testifying, he would do that. I just would step away as he's talking because he just grabbed me. And I'm like, that's not appropriate, is it? So we're going to pray for you again, okay? And we're going to let you walk a little bit after we pray for you. See if you walk it off. There's a reason we do this, okay?
Yeah.
You ready to try this again?
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I just ask for your touch, Father. Release this nerve, the pressure, the pain. Father, that he'd be healed of this
Thank
and
you.
Be able to tell everyone he knows for months and months what he suffered and what, Father, what you did for him and how you healed him and restored
Thank
him. So we rebuke the pain right now. We command the muscle to release, the nerve to be restored, and the pain to go, the
Thank
tightness
you.
In his spine, everything.
Thank
we ask
you.
For release right now and healing. We give it over to you right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're about to do in his life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Okay, I want you to just walk over there like 20 steps and come back.
Welcome back.
I need to hold on to people. Okay, let's check it again and see if it's better or if it's gone or whatever.
I don't feel it at this moment.
You don't feel it at all? Okay. So we're going to ask you.
Amen.
No, yeah, we're going to ask you to start to move, see if you can make it happen. And remember, you can't grab my cheek after this. That was a.
That doesn't look pleasant.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. No, is it, try to see if you can, any pain whatsoever.
Yeah, it seems to be pretty well gone at this moment. I'll know more if I start to really use my body.
Okay, isn't this exciting?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing, huh? Here, you can shake my hand. You can grab that anytime.
I've already had experience with him on some leg problems, so I know it works.
Amen. Amen.
No cheeks.
Oh, this is exciting, isn't it, Roger? This is exciting. Wow. Okay. Very good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, we got more people to pray for that are texting in. Mary Hodges is listening on GoToMeeting. She says she has ringing in her ear. And then Cheryl Mintz says her husband Carl is having ear pain for over a week. If you want to pray for Carl, and you can pray for Mary.
Father, right now with the same heart, same. Dr. Carl, and for those listening online or who will listen later, Father, we just pray for your presence right now. Go to them. Thank you for allowing us to feel it today. Thank you for your healing touch. Father, we just pray that you'd go to them right now, that all this would go away 100% and not come back. All the pain in the ear would go away. Father, we just pray right now for your touch on them. Thank you for who you are, for what you are. Father, I thank you for touching them right now and healing them wherever they're at. Thank you, Father.
Father, we just lift up Mary Hodges to you right now. Thank you that you see her right where she's at and that you are with her and that you know all things, every little detail of our lives, Father. We rebuke the ringing in her ear. We speak complete healing. We command it to cease and stop right now through your Son, Yahushua. Father, thank you. Thank you for touching her. Amen.
And Teresa Brooks is listening online. She says she has, I need to get to all the texts sooner, I'm sorry. I have chronic ringing in the ears and lockjaw from TMJ, and she has pain in her teeth. And the last probably 2 weeks, like every day when I get up for about 2 or 3 hours in the morning, my lower back is so stiff and tight, running down where my sciatica would be, that I have to loosen up for about 2 or 3 hours before, for just from sleeping all night from the pain. And when we, I'm fine. When we were praying for Roger, he touched me, so I'm in no pain right now, which is very nice.
Very nice.
Wow. Okay, well, that was a great service. All right, I'm going to pray for Teresa Brooks for her lockjaw. Father, I just lift up our sister, Teresa, who's listening online in Nevada. Father, thank you for her and Todd and what you're doing in their hearts. Thank you, Father, for calling them to this hour. Father, for the way you've drawn them. Father, for the hearts that have responded in this hour to your message. Father, thank you for the love and the response to see what needs to change. Father, all of the times they've hung in there, Father, and made decisions over the years, thank you that you're calling them. Father, for the obedience that has been coming. And I just lift her up to you, as you've done so many times. Father, I ask that you would move in such a way that you would receive the esteem. Father, that no man could take credit, no doctor. But, Father, that your name would be lifted up in their lives and that you would give them yet one more testimony of your power. Confirm who you are in this hour to them and those that they will share this with. Father, we ask for complete healing and restoration. I rebuke the TMJ. I command that jaw to function the way that Yahuwah created it to. Father, I just ask that you would move and your name would be esteemed.
Father, Teresa, we rebuke the ringing in her ears. Thank you that you are there right where she is at. You are visiting her. We command all the ringing to go, Father, all of it. Thank you, Father, for healing her now.
Thank you, Father. And she also has pain in her teeth.
Thank you, Father. For those you're touching today, just let your hand touch them right now. They'll know and understand it's you without any question. For all those that have pain in their teeth, we just ask for your touch and your healing power. We give them over to you right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. And Father, for the one who, if they're listening online or didn't want to respond, Father, that's having the sharp pain in their chest this morning, I just lift them up to you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I just ask you to show yourself strong on their behalf. Touch them. Bring restoration in every way it's needed. Father, draw their heart to you. Father, with all those that have been lifted up, if there was one other one that was having pain in their ear, just in the cartilage too, I just ask for your healing, Father, your restoration, and that your name would be esteemed. Father, we thank you. You do all things well, and we give you the esteem today. Amen. Okay. Did we forget anything? We good? Okay. Amen. Okay, you guys can sit down. Okay, I think, who's doing Sunday school today? Is anyone doing Sunday school today? There we go. We can go ahead and let the kiddos go to Sunday school. That does not mean, Pastor Doug, that you need to tell Pastor Vic he needs to go to Sunday school.
He keeps waving at me.
Pastor Heather, are you going to sit between those two?
No.
Are we going to have issues all service? Oh, my goodness.
The flies are flocking around Pastor Vic for some reason.
It's one of the plagues. Oh. It was, yeah. Okay. Manifest presence. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. This is the part where you go, okay, now where do I start? Okay. So, isn't it sweet to have his presence move in our midst? Don't you want to, you know, it's interesting, when I was in prayer this morning and he was showing me someone's ear, the jaw, and also someone having pain in their chest, I almost asked too if they had ringing in their ears. Isn't it sweet to have the Father's presence move in our midst? Isn't it sweet when he confirms who he is in our midst? Roger, the way he touched you this morning is significant. And you can hang on to that for the rest of your life and say, this is what the Father did for me. And up ahead, when there's people you can share with, neighbors, people you meet at the gas station, whatever, when he opens up a door and you share your faith and you share what he means to you and the relationship that you have with him and the love that you're developing, you can say, let me tell you what he did for me and the way that he moved in your life. We'll talk about this today, about how we have to have the right message in our lives about righteousness, and how when the message is correct, Yahuwah will back that up with power. We'll talk today a little bit about his manifest presence and why we have it at times, why some lives don't have it at times, how it should be in our life, and we need to look at, is he answering our prayers? Because guess what? There are prerequisites for the Father to move in your life to answer your prayers. Have you ever stopped and wondered why some people pray and the Father moves through them all the time and answers their prayers? Have you ever wondered about that? Who here has prayed for the sick and seen someone healed? Right? I've had, Pastor Doug raises his hand. Do that about 50,000 times. So I've talked to some Christians and they'll go, you know, I've prayed for the sick and nothing happens. And I tell them, I'm like, well, keep stepping out until he moves. But if he's not moving yet, when you're praying for someone, there might be things he wants to show you in your heart. And we'll look at these scriptures today. If we get far enough, depending on who shares, we might get to Stephen today. Don't pay attention to the two in the front row, Jay. We might get to Stephen today, and we will look and see that he was a man full of God's grace. We'll look at what that's for. He's full of God's favor. He's full of God's power, and many miraculous signs and wonders would follow him, many manifestations of his presence. And we'll look at some scriptures today, and we'll go, why sometimes does the Father move through some individuals, and what is he testifying when that's happening, and why sometimes do people pray and nothing happens? Do you want your prayers to be answered? Everyone say yes. Let me ask that again. Do you want your prayers to be answered? Yes. When you go share your faith, and the Father opens the door for someone at Costco, Corey, for you to share your faith, and the door is open, and it's him opening the door, and you just step right through it, right? And you share his love and what he means to you and what he's meant in your life. If then they, as you're talking, they go, you know, by the way, I have headaches, I have chronic migraines, I have back pain, whatever. Don't you want to be in the place where when you say, okay, let me pray for you. I'm a Christian. We pray for the sick because that's what Jesus told us to do. It says in Matthew 28, these signs will accompany those who believe. Anybody here believe? Right? So he says, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will lay hands on sick people and they will get better. So that's not for anyone here that doesn't apply to. If you believe in him, his manifest presence, his healing, however he wants to move through you, should come to some degree through your life the way that he wants. It might be evangelism. You might have his manifest presence move through you where he's drawing others to himself in you, through the testimony of your life, his presence in you. And when you open your mouth, his presence moves in such a way that their hearts are drawn to him, right? It could be praying for them for healing. It could be word of knowledge. It could be understanding. It could be counsel, that there's something going on in their life and the Father opens up a door and they say, I just don't know what to do. And wisdom and counsel comes from heaven into your vessel and through your vessel to give them exactly what they need. And they recognize, this is God. This is not man. There's wisdom here. I've had that happen many times with coworkers, to the point where some of them come to me now when they've got an issue and they're like, what should I do? Right? And I'll look to him, and there's wisdom that comes. There's counsel, understanding, even for just mundane things in life, finances, health, business issues. So we're going to look at this today. And we're going to say, is the Father answering my prayers? And remember I said earlier when we were in worship, you feel what's going on in the Spirit, and sometimes he shares his heart. I had so much joy. I thought, Father, it was like he was showing me there's hearts that are going to get a hold of some things today. And at the same time, I know that it's a two-edged sword and that we can hear the message. And if we're not careful, if we don't respond every time we hear the message, Scripture says we harden our hearts. Don't harden your hearts today. If he speaks to you and he shows you there's some things he wants from you, then say, Father, today is the day of salvation. I want to give you what you want. So when we go through this, I want you to ask yourself a few questions here, and we'll look at some scriptures on this. Is Yahuwah answering your prayers? When you're praying, asking him to move in your life, when you're praying, asking him to move in others' lives, do you have a track record where heaven is silent? Or do you have a track record where when you ask him to move, he moves? Is this okay? And if Pastor Jay, I'm praying and things aren't happening, there might be a reason. And we'll take a look at these. We'll look at some very direct scriptures. And this will tie in with manifest presence. You know why? Because if you come to the place where he can't resist you, and when you ask, he wants to move, you know what will happen as a result of that in your life? Manifest presence. You want to be in the place that he wants to move. Could you be in a place where somebody is in a difficult situation? Someone has hardship emotionally, physically, financially, they're sick. And because you pray, the Father moves? Do we see that in Scripture? Pastor Doug, have you ever had that happen?
Mm-hmm. Occasionally.
Occasionally? Was there a pastora from Peru that you prayed for a number of years? Did you have any thoughts on that?
You're talking about Isabel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can share that if you want.
Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah.
Because it would dovetail right into where we're going.
Okay. I took a vow of silence this morning. I told Pastor Jay, I sent a text. I took a vow of silence. I won't be talking today.
Which is why I said I'll take that bet.
Yeah. We had some struggles in the past that are hard to understand at times, and Pastora Isabel was one of those struggles, and Pastora Linda in the Philippines. And both these people, the Father had asked them to do something specifically, and they wouldn't do it. They just wouldn't do it. And he made it very clear. He testified through other people. Other people had visions and would confirm the things. And both of them did not want to do what God was asking them to do. And it's difficult, and sometimes it's very hard to understand, because both these people loved God and served God and obeyed God most of the time, right? Both of them got breast cancer, and both of them got healed the first time I prayed. So I prayed for Isabel. She got healed. The tumors went away. I prayed for Linda. She got healed. She went back to the doctor. The doctor said, you don't have cancer, when she had very intense, very, I don't know if it's stage four at the time, Isabel was, but I don't know if Linda was. And I talked to both of them about repenting and giving God what he asked them to give. And what God was asking them as pastors was to minister in certain ways. For Isabel, was to the homeless kids, and to Linda was to tell the church the truth and to bring the conviction that was required for the hour. And both of them struggled. They just struggled to do that. It wasn't in their nature to do that. Both of them had their issues. They would walk with God in so many areas. And then they would get cancer again. Is this what you wanted me to share?
Yes, sir.
They would get cancer again, and they'd call me on the phone, and I would pray for them again, and they would get healed. This went on for both of them for 7 years. 7 years, I would rebuke them, correct them, tell them what God was bringing and what he wanted. They would get healed, and then they wouldn't do what he asked.
I would just testify to one of the times that happened. It was the summer of 2004, and I had known you for 6 months, and you were sitting in Pastor Vic's living room on the phone with Linda in the Philippines.
Oh, is that right?
And the tumors disappeared over the phone.
Yeah.
And you were praying for her. This was 21 years ago.
Yeah. So I want to share a couple things. I don't know if I covered what you wanted.
Well, there was a time when Isabel, you prayed for her for what, 7 years?
Yeah.
And at one point, you would ask the Father, because it was back and forth,
yeah,
you would bring correction, because Isabel was obeying in other areas of yeah her life.
Yep.
But we always talk about that it's giving the Father what he wants, and 100%, and not picking and choosing. And you kept addressing her on, the Father would speak to her and say, Isabel, remember my children.
Yeah.
And at one point, because we can have reactions and we can have thoughts about what the Father's doing and other people's reactions or lack of it to the Father.
Right.
And you had told me, you had said, you know, at one point you had kind of asked the Father, what's going on here? Because this has been going on for 7 years.
Yeah.
Back and forth, back and forth. You would pray the tumors would disappear or down to grape size, down to a pea.
Yep.
And then because of the lack of obedience, they would come back because he was trying to get her attention. And at one point, because the Father was listening to your prayers, he said, because you ask,
yeah,
I will move.
There's something to this. Do you hear what he just said? Because you asked. He's said this to me many times, right? That's favor. And I want to explain this in a second, but that's the favor of God. And what that means is he puts his favor on different ones at different times. And we see this in Scripture. And to understand why does he put his favor on certain people at certain times, right? We wonder, is he a respecter of persons? No. But he does favor some more than others for his purposes. Do you understand what I'm saying? For his purposes, right? Pastora Isabel, even, you know the testimony, the one night when we flew down there and God told us, she won't meet you at the airport, she's dying in her room, she's going to send two men to pick you up, they don't speak English, come to her room and pray for her, right? That's a long testimony, I won't go into all of it right now. And we did, and we found them at the airport, they took us to her, and we prayed for her that night. And in 2 days, we were flying to Chile. And so Isabel was so sick and dying, there's no way we could fly to Chile 2 days later from Peru and minister, but it's all set up, but she was the only translator. She's the only one. And so if she didn't get healed, we weren't going to go. And I prayed for her that night. And the night before we're supposed to leave, she still was sick, but she was stronger and she could go, and she decided, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. We're going to go to Chile. I said, okay. Right? I didn't know she's going to die on the way, literally. She was that sick. And that night she's packing her bag, and what was the guy's name?
Sergio
was helping her. A large tumor leapt out of her breast onto the bed, blood everywhere, and her chest closed. These are supernatural events that Marianne was an oncology nurse. She goes, that cannot happen. It does not happen. It will never happen. If your chest bursts open, it doesn't come back and close. It's going to take surgery. It's going to take a whole bunch of things. The tumor fell out on the bed. They were both in shock. And she was able to go with us to Chile. And we ministered for I don't know how long in Chile. And then came back and ministered in Peru. But still, she would not give him what he asked for. Is that us? Do we do that? Do we pick little areas that we say, you know, I can give you anything, but there's certain things I, you know? Or do we say, yeah, I'm going to do this, but we don't really mean it in our heart. We say, I'm going to change. I see it now, I'm going to change. And then we don't change, right? And you can say, well, you know, if it's a big thing, Pastor, I understand that. You know, is he going to kill me for a little thing? You're misunderstanding.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to kill her. He was trying to save her, right? The question is, why does he show favor on some and not on others? Or more on some than on others, right? I want to read you a quick scripture, then I want to share a couple things with you. Because I was almost shared this earlier, and Jay asked me, but I was like, oh, later. I can share all the time. I don't want to.
I know, but he kept prompting me. So.
He kept prompting you. So I'm going to read to you James 4:8. You already have that scripture?
Please read it.
Do you have that?
Please read it.
Okay. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So what's a double-minded? My answer is yes, but my action is no. Right? Is it true? My answer to you is yes, but my actions are no. Which ones count?
I have a question.
Yeah.
If my answer to him is yes, but my action is no, does that mean, would that look like getting convicted on Sunday morning,
yeah,
knowing what the decisions are,
yeah,
and then not changing?
Yep.
And would that look like maybe he's been talking to me about the same thing more than once?
Yep. Okay. Yep. Can you hand me my coffee?
Yes.
So is that double-minded? When your mouth says yes, but your actions say no, you're double-minded, aren't you? Right? And everyone can struggle with this. You don't have to continually struggle the rest of your life. But if you struggle with this most of your life, you've got a problem. You have a problem with God, right? So when it says draw near to God, what does it mean to draw near to God? What does that mean? If I asked you, how do you draw near to God, right? I would probably get 10 or 15 different answers. But what does it mean to draw near to God, right? Well, I come to him and go, here I am. I'm here, right? That sounds like a narcissist, right? It sounds like somebody who doesn't understand relationship at all, right? He says draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, which means he won't draw near to you if you don't first draw near to him, correct? We know this scripture. It's not new to us, right? But what does it mean to draw near to God? So how do you get near to him? I'm going to step a couple feet closer. Am I near? Now am I near? I'm in prayer. Does that count? I'm going to spend time in prayer with you. I'm going to confess some things. Does that count? How do you draw near to him, right? This is really important. Really important. Somebody doesn't like what I'm saying. Is that you, Kevin? How do you draw near? You know how I draw near to God? Is there a secret? Is there a trick? Oh. Wow. That kid's got some lungs. That's not even Sean's brat. Sean's not here today. What does it mean to draw near to him? If you're drawing near to God, that means he's letting you get close to him, isn't he? He doesn't have to. And if you draw near to him double-minded, how does he take that? He's not interested. Yeah. Right? He's not interested. And he knows when we're double-minded and when we're not. He knows. And if we're honest, we know when we're being double-minded. I really want to give you this, God, but I'm not going to. Which is what Isabel and Linda struggle with clear to the end. Clear to the end. Right? I told Isabel, you're going to die. If you don't make this right, you're going to die. She didn't make it right clear to the end. She wouldn't make it right. She loved God, but this is one area I'm not giving you, God. And this is hard for us, those that knew her and loved her. We did. We loved her, right? Mm. We knew her for a long time. Many of us were very, very close, and we ministered to thousands, tens of thousands of people with her. But this one area, that was her. She wasn't going to let go. But isn't it just like God to find the one area you won't let go?
Amen.
And say, this is what I want from you. I want this. You're like, hey, I give you, look at all the stuff I'll give you from my life. No, I want this. What's the big deal? This isn't a big deal. Of all the people Isabel ministered to in the jungles, in the mountains, in the suburbs, all over Peru, risked her life. She had been shot at. There's so many things, right? That she was willing to do, to pay the price. She would fast for a month at a time. She'd fast without water for a month. That's impossible. But she would do it. But she wouldn't give Father this one thing. And Linda struggled also with hers, which was to be brutally honest with the assembly and tell them where they're falling short with God. And she wouldn't do it. But she went out to the Munyans, which was remote villages, where they're naked running around the bushes, and she brought so many into the kingdom among the Munyans in Mindoro. Is it Mindoro? Or is that the right island?
Yes, Mindoro.
Mindoro, which we've now been with those same people. But when it came down to telling what the people should hear, she stopped short, right? I've had people tell me, hey, if I'm doing most everything right, isn't that what counts? No, because when you're double-minded, that means he doesn't have your whole heart.
That's right.
If he doesn't have your whole heart, he doesn't have it at all. Go ahead.
Well, What some people do is they'll, Father will ask or want them to do something, and then they'll think, well, that's not my personality. That's mm-hmm. not me. I'm not open. Yeah. It's amazing where some people are so quick to do what is easy for them. It was very easy for Pastor Isabel to go out and evangelize. It was so easy, but I don't know what the issues were in her personally. I can't speak to that, but I do know that she fell back in the area of the children, which was specifically what Father wanted. You know, sometimes things take organization that we don't naturally have or doesn't come naturally for us, and it would take an act of accountability and responsibility and changing habits in order to become able to do certain things he wants us to do. And if they don't come easily for us, either mentally or emotionally, some people will just say, well, no, I can't do that because I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
But this isn't about what you're good at, and it's not about what is easy for you or what you like to do or what allows your personality to express itself. It's about him and what he wants and what he asks you to do and what he gives you strength and understanding for. There's way more involved than just that.
Yeah. Amen. I'm learning something new every day, and that is, as you get older, life gets harder. It's not fair. Can't do what you used to do. Can't accomplish what you used to accomplish. Have way less energy and have to do more. There's so many things as you get older. It's this. It can be depressing. Literally, some of you will find out soon enough. Some of you already know, right? And I go to Father all the time, and I go, Father, I'm not able to do this as much. I'm not able to do that as much. And I ask him for the strength to go out, because the biggest part's about to start. The biggest part of everything we've been involved in the last 50 years is about to start. The biggest part of it, right? And I'm thinking. And I said this when I was 20. If you wait till I'm 70, I'm not going to be happy. I said that to God. I said, if you wait till I'm 70, I'm not threatening them. I'm just telling them, this is how I feel about this, right? It doesn't make any difference. I already know, right? And I'm sure he was laughing. He's been laughing ever since, right? If you're going to wait, I'm not joking. I told him, if you wait till I'm 70, I'm not going to be happy. Because at 70, I can't do what I could do at 20, right? But here's, and I'm watching my friends get old and crusty. I'm watching the young people, they're turning old in front of my own eyes, right? Gosh, Kevin was just a couple years older than you, Abby, when I met him. Now he's an old man. Whew. That almost came out. I'm watching this happen, and someone told me the other day, you know, I'd like to go out on trips with you, but I don't think we can afford it. Others just said, I'd like to go on another trip with you, but I don't know if my body will hold up, right? Because I can't do what I used to do, which I understand, right? I do, I understand. I'm not as healthy as I was. I can't do this, I can't do that, right? It doesn't matter your condition. Father will use you with the strength that you have, right? Well, what if I can't ever go on a trip? You don't have to go on a trip. That doesn't make you spiritual. But if you'll stay home and pray your heart out for those that were going to come in through that trip and other trips, and you're interceding and you're doing everything you can with what strength you have, you can say, well, I don't have much strength, so I'm not going to do anything. Oh, gosh. He didn't ask you to do beyond your strength. He asked you to give all your strength and to pursue him at that level. That's all he wants from us. He doesn't want us to do what we physically can't do unless he's going to heal us, right? This is so important. You can say, well, you know, I'm not excited. If I can't do this or that, I'm not excited about what's coming. What? His bride's about to come in. And we can hopefully be a part of what he's doing, right? And your prayers have as much power as somebody going out. So it's your prayer life. And it's so how do you draw near to God? You know what's on his heart and what affects him. If you go to him and you go, Father, I want to draw near to you this morning. And I want to pray for your bride that she will choose you if she can see you. And I just want to ask you to show yourself to her and let her come in. Wake her up, draw her, help her to shake the things off that she needs to get rid of and start to draw near to you and be brought into your kingdom. You come to him going, this is what I'm asking. In my weakness at this moment, I can't even go out of the house.
We have people that can't go out of the house. We have people dying in this assembly. You may or may not know that. More than one is dying in this assembly. They know. They have the knowledge. Well, what should I be doing? I can't do anything. You can pray. Mm-hmm. That impacts his heart. It impacts his heart, right? And what happens is you come to him with the concerns of his heart. It's not about you. You start to draw near to him. He draws near to you. You want what I want. You want what's on my heart. You care about what I am wrapped up in, right? Mm-hmm. When you draw near to God, you go to him and you say, I want to give you everything you want from my life. Not what I think or how I feel or what I like or what I don't like. Everything you want from my life, I want to give it to you. Because I love you. I love you. And I want to make you happy. I'm not trying to make me happy. I want to make you happy. And when I'm in prayer, and you know, I struggle, I shared this morning praying for the ringing in the ears and those other things. I tell him at the same time, Father, if you'll restore me in this, I want to give more in this area in the ministry. It's not for my life. It's not for myself. But if you don't, then I'll give you the best I have with what I have been given. Mm-hmm. So if I have weakness or fatigue or sickness or anything else, I'm going to give you the best I have from the strength I carry. Are you with me so far? This is what he's looking for. And I don't want to give you a double-minded heart. I want to give you a pure heart that is focused on what you want. Did you have something?
Well, just with what you were saying, I was just thinking, when it comes to the point of decision, that's where the heart gets involved. And one, you have one response or the other. Earlier you were addressing that some people will give him everything except what he asks. Because then that's the one thing that he goes, do you love me more than this thing? Right? I want to go on a trip. I don't want to go on a trip. I want to stay home. I don't want to stay home. And it's like he's usually going to ask you to do what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And one heart says, I'll give you everything but the thing you want. Versus your response, you were saying, when it comes to the point of decision and you go, I just want to give you my best in all things.
Yeah. Someone said to me the other day, you know, I'd like to go on a trip, but I don't think I can afford it. I just don't have the money. Right? Is Sarah in Sunday school? She must be. No? Where's Sarah? Ah, there she is. Sarah came to me. She goes, I want to go on a trip with you, when she was younger. Sarah used to be younger. She didn't have a family and kids. She didn't have a Josh. She came to me. She's young. I think she's barely in Bible college. I don't remember. But she goes, I want to go on a trip, but I don't have any money. I said, so? What's holding you back? I don't have any money. So? Start praying. If you want to go on a trip and you want to minister and you want to be changed to going on this trip, you start asking, Father, how can I go? What can I do? How can I do this? How can I do that? And then you start reaching out and trying to find out what you can do to get this. Do you want to share real quick what you did? Can somebody give her a mic? She's got the little brat at her feet, but I don't want her to leave that. Oh, she's going to bring the kid up. Was that the screamer this morning?
Just a second.
Sadie hasn't got you. Okay.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. Oh, there we go. So I started a GoFundMe page, and I made a letter and I sent it out to all of my family. At the time though, they weren't super, you know, supportive of what I was doing. So I didn't get any donations from family, at the time, which was okay. But no, you know, I was promoting the GoFundMe page on Facebook and there was just nothing coming in for a couple months. And I was just praying, you know, and just like, Father, you know, you really put this on my heart. So I just lay this at your feet. You know, I'm going to continue to do what I can, save away a little bit of money, you know, here and there. I think I was able to save myself like a couple $100. But then I just laid it at his feet. And within a couple weeks, I was working at the gas station at this time. And there was a random person that came into the gas station, and I was helping them fill up like a beer growler, talk to them for maybe 5 minutes, And somehow they found my GoFundMe page on Facebook. And within a series of maybe, I think it was like 2 months, they ended up donating. It was like $4,400. And I'm like, why are you doing this? And they're like, I just want to help support, you know, God's will in your life. And then God just kept opening up doors. So at my job, they had this competition on like who could sell the most raffle tickets, and you'd get like $400 or something if you won. And I ended up winning that, so I got another $400 that I was able to put towards the mission trip. And then at that point, because I needed to raise a total of $5,000, I had like $150 left to raise. I'm like, oh, I can do this, you know, I can get this myself. But then my uncle came into town, and he was like, oh, hey, do you still need help with, you know, that mission trip thing that you're saving for? And I was like, you know, I'm pretty much there. I just have like $150 left to come up with. And then he pulled exactly $150 out of his pocket and gave that to me. And so Father completely provided the full amount. But then there was the other aspect, too, of like I didn't have any PTO or vacation while I was gone for 3 weeks to cover bills and stuff like that. So I'm like, Father, if you could help me with this last little piece where I could come up with enough to be able to also cover my bills. And that's right when I started working for Wells Fargo. That job opportunity opened up, and they actually have PTO that they give you right out of the gate. And so that was just enough to cover all of my bills while I was in the Philippines. So he just kind of took care of every single detail.
Is that favor?
Yes.
Father's favor poured out on her, right? Because she's prettier than you. She's not prettier than me, right? Why did the favor come on to her, right? Because she went to him and go, I want to go on a trip. I want to minister. I want to understand this. I want to change. I want to step out in faith. I want to do the things you want me to do, and I have no money, right? And as she's approaching him for what he wants to do in her life,
yes.
As she draws near to him, he looks at this and he goes, oh, and he draws near to her.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
And the prayers start to be answered, and the favor starts to come, favor for the ministry. In Africa, they pray for favor, which is money, finances, and success in your own life for your own pleasure. That's not the favor we're talking about. That's prosperity, Jesus. That's not what we're talking about. Father can bless you. But it's for the ministry, it's for the work, it's for the purpose for you to continue doing. So why did he draw nearer to Sarah and her prayers? And then we think, well, I can't do anything because I don't have any money, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. I don't have time off from work, I can't go. Once she got the money, she didn't have time off. So it's like, wait a minute, I've got the money to go, but I don't have time off, which means I have to have the same pay I would have at work while I'm gone on this trip, and I don't have that. Oh, shoot, right? And then she gets a new job, and she gets the time off. In advance, she's covered, right? This is favor. Why does he do this, right? So I want to share something with you. So we've talked before about Jacob I love and Esau I hated. Right? How many know that, right? Now, we can look at this and go, God hates people? Well, he can be very angry and upset with us. But I want to explain to you something about when it says that in Scripture. The word, the Hebrew word is S-A-N-E. If you write it out, it's pronounced sane. Okay? That word for hate, when it says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated, right? That word, it comes from the word that means thorn or thorn seed. Okay, that's where the word comes from. This is strange, but you understand. And so what was it about Esau that made God pull away from him? Like he's a thorn hedge, or he's thorny. There's something about him you don't want to be near him. What was it about Esau that God's like pulls away, but he turns to Jacob? Now Jacob's a liar and a thief and a deceiver. Jacob is in sin. He's going to steal an inheritance. He's going to trick his brother. So Jacob isn't, he's in sin. Right? Esau's not tricking anybody. But God turns to Jacob and away from Esau. And he says, Esau, I hate it. The word sane, or it can mean love less, or love way less, or hate, with emotionally hate. And the only way you know what the word means is by the context in the Hebrew. It's a strange word. So it's a little strange. So Jacob gets married later, doesn't he? He has two wives, right? One he loves. Michael's going, do we get two wives in this church?
He's liking it.
He's like, you got to start with one. Yeah. So he's Leah, and Rachel, right? He gets Leah first through trickery from Laban, his uncle. It's a long story. But he doesn't, it says that he, Sane, her. Did he hate her? And Rachel, he loves. So wait a minute, did he hate? Leah had a lot of kids. He didn't hate her too much. You know what I'm saying? She had the most kids, didn't she? Right? Where Rachel's like, I get two, and then I die. Right? It's true. But Jacob loves Rachel more than Leah, correct? This is a picture of God. Leah was a disappointment to Jacob. He was in love with Rachel because of who she was. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
Okay. It's the same with Esau. Jacob and Esau. Esau comes back from hunting. He's a great hunter, and he's hungry. And Jacob's got a pot of something that he's made. They say stew or whatever. And he sees it, and he goes, oh, I'm so hungry. So Jacob goes, give me your birthright, and you can have all you want. Right? You know the story?
Yeah.
Okay. And what does Esau do? Oh, you can have it. Because what God's given me doesn't mean anything to me. What I want, that means something to me. So yeah, I'll make you a deal, and I'll give you my birthright. This is why God was angry with Esau, because of his heart didn't treasure the things that were important to God.
Amen.
When your heart treasures what's important to God, he responds to that, and he shows his favor. Go ahead.
So key what you're saying. When your heart treasures what is important to God, he will draw near to you. He will give you manifest presence.
Yeah.
And it begs the question, if he says, this is what I want from you, if he convicts you,
yeah,
and you won't give him what he wants from you, not all the other things that are convenient for you, but what he specifically wants from you, then by those actions, is that being double-minded?
Yes.
And saying, what's important to you is not what's important to me.
Vic was testifying that he was praying for fire before I met him in the church. And he told the whole church, I'm going to go away for a while. I'm going to pray and fast, and I'm going to pray for fire. And I suggest you do it also. But I have to tell you, in the last church I was in, when I prayed for fire, the whole place blew apart. Blew the whole leadership church blew apart when I did this. He goes, but I got to do this. I have to do this, right? And some of the people said, you can go pray for fire. I'm not going to. Right? When Vic said, Pastor Vic said, I'm going to pray for fire, what he's saying is, I want God to draw near to me and burn off what's not of him, to come and purify me and deal with where my heart doesn't prefer him first, right? People who pray for fire, they go, whatever it has to go, I want it to go. And I know it's going to hurt, right? But some of the people said, you can, but I won't. I don't want to, and I'm not going to, right? That reveals the heart, doesn't it? I can't tell you how many times I've gone into prayer over the last 50 years. When I want to draw near to you, I want to be close to you, I want to understand you. And what broke loose, I never wanted. Suffering, pain, a bad situation, it just got worse and worse and worse. And the most recent one was the most recent one that I just went through. And so when I go into prayer and I go to him and I go, I want to draw nearer to you, and I want to be closer to you, and I want to be like you, and I want to understand you, and I want to take on more of your nature, before I pray that, I stop. Oh, right? And I got to sit on my hands so they don't cover my mouth. Because I know if I ask you, you may move in a way I really don't want you to. Is that fair? Because he does, doesn't he? Well, you need to suffer because you have a thick head. Right? You're going to have to really suffer. I'm like, is there another way? Not for your thick head. There is no other way, right? When I go and I go into prayer like that, and I'm like, oh, shoot, what am I doing, right? What am I doing? I know what I'm doing. And I pray it anyway. Because what I want is to be closer to him. I want to please him. I want to be a delight to him in everything. And if that means I have to go through something horrible to get there, if that's what I want, then okay. And so every time I'm shaking my head like, what are you doing, Doug? Right? But my heart won't hold back from him. And I ask him, do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to draw me closer to you. How close do you want to come to death?
That's your choice.
You decide. Because if I choose, we won't come close at all. So if I let you choose, we'll do your dance because I'm flesh. And I will choose the easy way out. But there is no easy way out with you. So we look at the favor that God shows Jacob over Esau. Right? And you're going, but Jacob was in sin. But God knew something about Jacob, didn't he? He knew, you will pursue me and you won't stop until you get me. If I put an angel against you, you'll wrestle with that. If he pops your hip out of the socket, you still won't stop fighting because you're going to get to me. And what I want, no matter what, that's why I love you. That's why I like you. When you ask, I'll answer. When you pray, I'll give you what you want. Go ahead.
Something that I'm really appreciating about Sarah's story is that she wasn't just telling him, I want what you want, but she was like, I'm going to show you that I want what you want by stepping out and doing whatever it takes to do it.
Yeah.
Who wants to write letters to their family? No one. But so she did whatever it took to get that thing. She didn't just lay down and say and expect him to do it for her.
She had a heart of Jacob, didn't she?
Yes.
This is what our Father looks for when he gives you something and it's difficult and you go, well, if that saying, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. I hate that saying. That comes out of darkness, right? Uh-huh. I'm going to do everything I can to accomplish your purpose that you've shown me in my life. I know when I come up short, and I will, that you'll make up the difference. I don't know how that's going to happen, but you're going to see me do everything I can. At this moment, I'll push with everything I've got. I'm not going to give up no matter what. No matter what. She didn't give up, did she? And it kept coming. And then, and God's so good at this, when she finally got the money, then she realized, oh, shoot, I don't have vacation. I don't have the money. All this money's come in. Thousands of dollars came in. What was the total of your bill? You remember, Sarah? $5,000 for that trip. $5,000. I'm here, I'm there. Oh, no, I'm not there. I don't have vacation. How do I pay my bills when I'm gone, my rent, my whatever? I can't. It's back to God. Right? Why don't you give up, Sarah? No. I have a heart of Jacob. You have to be delighted with who he is and want to delight him. You have to want to delight him, no matter what it costs. No matter what it costs. This is where Isabel fell short. This is where Linda fell short, pastors, where they fell short, because I want to please you and I'll do almost anything. Almost anything doesn't work. I want you to never give up. I want you to so desperate for me that you won't stop no matter what. And you'll chase after me because you love me. You trust me. You believe in me. You want me, right? Esau, he didn't care, did he? His birthright? He sold it for some food, right? Where Jacob's wrestling with an angel, his hip has popped out, right? Was it his hip?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know what's interesting, too, about that is that Esau had the testimony of Jacob in his life, his whole life. They were twins.
Yeah.
And you know there was many other things that aren't recorded that Jacob would go after. If he saw something of value, he would go after it that way.
Yeah.
And as you were talking, people could listen in the flesh and go, gosh, that seems severe that Isabel would die.
Yeah.
But Scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required.
That's right.
And when there's manifest presence, there's accountability to give him what he asks. And with what's coming, the way he's about to call his bride worldwide and the way he's going to manifest his presence, the level of accountability in a New Testament assembly here and all over the world, the people that do the real thing, the level of accountability will only go up, which means our love, we need to continue to surrender if we're going to do this.
Isabel stood with me side by side and watched cancer healed so many times she lost count. Breast cancer, all kinds of cancer, stood next to me as I prayed for people, and she saw them get healed in Peru, Chile. She would witness this, right? She witnessed the manifest presence of God, which is, she saw the favor on me, right? Why is there favor on me? I have his favor. I have it financially, I have it physically, I have it at home, I have it in my life, I have it in the ministry, except when he teaches me a lesson. And those lessons weren't from sin. It was to bring me deeper in him through suffering, right? I had to pay a price. When it came down to it, what delights him is a heart that will give him whatever he wants, no matter what.
Amen.
That's a hard thing, isn't it? Well, you take my life, or you take my spouse's life, or you take a child's life. Will I suffer? Will I go blind? Will I go deaf? Will I get sick? Will I get a disease? If you give me disease and I'm dying, what do you expect from me? That you cherish my heart and you'll intercede for those who are about to come in, even if it's from your bed that you're interceding. Then I know that you love me because your priority is me. And what's my heart is, what my heart is wanting and desiring in my people. That's where your heart is, right? Favor comes when you are so determined to delight his heart that in any circumstance that you're in, you will give him your best. That's what he wants. Well, do I have to go through suffering to give him my best? What do you think? If Messiah was perfected through suffering, what are we perfected through? Is it true? See if I have one more scripture for you on this.
As you're looking that up, can I add to that?
Yes, you can.
You said he wants what is difficult to give. And when you go through that, he says, now I know that you love me. Now, as you were sharing that, I was thinking about Abraham. And he goes in Genesis 22, and he's at the end of his life. He's walked with God. He's grown. He's matured. He finally has Isaac, the son of promise. Everything, all of the promises of God that are going to come through Abraham's life and lineage are bound up in Isaac. He knows it's through Isaac that I'm going to fulfill my covenant to you. And he says, I'm going to test you, Abraham.
Yeah.
I want you to give me the one thing that would cost you more than anything.
Yeah.
That's going to cost Abraham more than his life, his health, his wife's life, all of his wealth. The one thing he could ask him to give him to test him is Isaac. And when he, in his heart, is willing, I don't love your promises through me more than I love you.
Yeah.
You are the priority. And when he goes to slay Isaac, and the father, the angel of Yahuwah, calls from heaven, and he says, now I know that you fear me and that you love me. Because you've done this, I'm going to fulfill my promises to you. And even to Abraham, because it's about love, right? The decisions, what do you want? He says, I know you. Now I know you. And we know from 1 Corinthians 8:3 that the man who loves God is known by God.
Yeah. Here's the thing that's so funny. I've said this before. You don't know how to love yet until you're put through the right test. Love that needs to come out of you, that's never come out of you, can't come out of you until that test comes. It doesn't exist yet in you. You've been given the gift to love, but the love that he wants from you doesn't exist in you yet. And that comes to the tests and the trials that we enter into and the struggles, and then our response as you are literally changing through the struggle. You're changing. And then what comes out of you is the love that he wants to come out of you that's just like him. Just like him. Just like his nature, right? Going through this most recent trial that I've been going through, and Heather gets to go through it with me while she's sick too at the same time. So many things were going on through this whole thing, and so many trips to the emergency room. In fact, even after the TAVR, the valve replacement, several times, you know, I think we're going to have to go to the emergency room. And I would call the doctors, and they go, if this happens, this happens, go to the emergency room. Well, it would happen. Okay, do I go or not go, right? And not knowing, am I going to die or not? Because you don't know. You don't know. You can have a stroke. There's a whole bunch of things that can happen. And I would have symptoms that were, right? But I would stop every time. I go, if you want me to go, it's my time. I'll go. Of course. I don't have a problem with this. But I don't want to go. I want to serve you still. There's things I still want to do for you. There's parts of my heart I still want to change. I want to become more like you in the time I've got. I only have a short time. All of us have a short time. I want to give you my very best, and I want to be changed in every way that you meant for me to change in this life. And I'm not going to let circumstances stop me. So if you let me live, I'm going to live. If you let me die, I'm going to die. If you make me suffer like I'm going to die and won't let me know till I don't die. Did you catch that? Okay. But I want to change to this. What came through this was a confidence, right? Did you have a confidence that God was going to save you? Oh, no, no, no. What? Were you praying that you would live? No. What? Were you praying they would heal you and they wouldn't have a problem? No. What? Remember I shared with Jay I didn't know how to pray? Yes. I finally understand now how to pray, right? My prayer was, whatever you want, that's what I want.
Amen.
And whatever change can come, I want to change now. I don't want to be double-minded in the smallest, tiniest area of my life. I don't want it. Because that's where I don't love you. And I want to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. I want to love you. Can you go to heaven without that full transformation? Definitely. Definitely. The thief on the cross hadn't transformed in any way other than to come to humility and go, you are the one. I deserve to die. You don't, right? That's all he came to, and he gets to go to heaven, right? That's not the point. It's like Jacob. I want the blessing that's you. I want you. And I want to change completely, and I want to take on your nature. And you've given me a chance to do this. I don't want to waste the time you gave me. I want to overcome in everything, in every part, in every way. I want to give you what you want so that when you ask anything, my answer will be yes, no matter what the consequences are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Go ahead. Did you want to come up?
Most people live their lives through the blindness and the veil that when we decide we're not going to do something that he's asking us to do, that he that comes up to him as a prayer. And it's a stench in his nose because he knows the reason.
Yeah.
We don't stop to think, what is the reason I won't do this and why won't I surrender this?
Yeah.
They stop at blindness. They choose blindness rather than the reality of why we're doing what we're doing. And sometimes we don't know why we're doing what we're doing. And I have to go to prayer and say, help me understand Amen. This. Because that's where the truth is in him as he reveals to us the very nature of our own hearts because we deceive ourselves. There's an understanding of walking in him with integrity and purity and humility that people don't have. And they put on a persona of humility, but it's not there. So when we make the decisions, oh, I'm not going to do that because that might be the reason that you give yourself.
Yeah.
But that might not even be the reason at all. And it comes up to him as, they don't love me.
Yeah.
Because if they loved me, this would not stand in their way.
Yeah. You can say, well, Doug, I'm not sure I love him enough to do this. I'm not sure that my heart, I would approach God this way and push through this, right? You can say that. But my answer to you would be, you are capable. You just have to be willing. Yeah. The issue isn't you can't. The issue is, are you willing? When you come up across something in your life that you just can't overcome, you just won't or you don't, and you keep starting over on the same thing, trying to overcome one thing or two things or whatever, you keep going over and over and over and over, right? And after a while, you just kind of stop. Oh, I can't do this. You failed the test.
You failed the test. You wouldn't be in the test if you could not overcome.
That's right.
You're in the test because you can, but the test has to be so difficult that the only way you will is love. That's the only way. You won't do it unless you love him. You say, well, I don't know. And you have to be honest. I don't know if I love him that much or if I could love him. I've never loved him that much, Doug. That's why you don't have the favor. But what I'm telling you is everyone is capable. It's when you decide to put to death the flesh that you love to become the spirit man that you were made to be, loving him. That's the test, isn't it? That's the test everybody goes through. And we go through it different parts in our life in different ways. But early on, I was making the decision, you're my Lord, you're my Father, you're my God, you're my Savior, you're my King, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. Well, you don't know what that means until you start to serve. Okay, you have to stop this. Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. You have to give up that. Oh, please. I want you to change this. That's who I am. I know, I don't like it. You don't like I am? No, I don't like you am. Right? You have to change.
Amen.
And the test comes, if you love me, you will change. If you don't love me, you won't change. Well, how do I push through to love him that much? You start to overcome. Amen. You start to overcome. How do I overcome? By overcoming.
Yeah.
Whatever you're struggling with, where you get the victory that he wants in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Faith, believing, everything. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We don't have it up on the... I wasn't going to speak today, so I didn't send it to Jay. So this is NIV. And it's 1 Corinthians 6, 14 through 7, 1. It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with the unbeliever? The unbeliever is in disobedience, right? Got to find my place. Oh. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and separate, be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Is this drawing near to him?
Oh, yeah.
If he draws near to you, he's saying, I'm going to receive you because you're separating yourself from everything that's not me. Right? Did you have something?
Well.
Let me finish it?
Yeah.
Separate, says the Lord, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises that you just heard, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. You have to perfect the holiness, which is separation from darkness and stepping into what God wants, not what you want, right? And reverence is your love and respect and your admiration of God. I will come out of everything that's not of you, right? So, Isabel, it's a long story, but I had a vision that she was supposed to have thousands of orphans and was going to minister to all these kids. Had a vision. And I'm meeting her at a restaurant that day, and I'm thinking, oh, I got to share this with Isabel. I don't know what she's going to think. This is before we started reaching out more to the kids. We were already reaching out to the homeless. She was driving from Montana with another person from a church over there, and on the way, God started to move and showed both of them that Isabel would be ministering to thousands of kids, homeless kids. Showed her. She gets to the restaurant. We meet. I sit down with her and this other lady, and I said, I have something to share with you. They hadn't said anything yet. They go, oh, what? I said, I had a vision. Oh, what? You're supposed to minister to thousands of kids. They about fell out of their chairs because they just spent 8 hours talking about this on the way to where I was. Go ahead.
Was that manifest presence?
Yeah.
Was that confirmation?
Yeah.
Was that accountability?
Yeah. Do you know what it's like to take care of homeless kids? Those that have traveled with us and gone to feed the homeless kids, they stink, they're dirty, they sniff glue, they have problems, they're perverted, they have all kinds of issues and problems, and they don't obey very well. And even though they feel the love, they come in, we brought them in, they would run off and go do stuff in the middle of the night and commit crimes, right? And Isabel's like, I'm not putting up with this, I'm not going to do this, right? I can do just about anything, but I'm not taking care of these dirty, nasty little kids all the time. It's too much. I don't want to go out to them at 1 in the morning and feed them. I'm tired of this. Ask me to do anything. Abraham. Ask me to do anything. I'll give up my wife. I have no problem. I'll give up my riches. I don't care. I want you to kill your son. Oh, just a minute. Just a minute. What are you after, Abraham? Are you after me or something else? Well, my promise is through my son. You gave me a son. My promise is supposed to be fulfilled through my son. Well, what's more important to you, your promise or me? What area do you not love me yet? Yeah. What area do you love something more than me? God, what are you asking? I want you to kill your son. I want your son to look you in the eye when you cut his throat. What? You want what? Right? Now, Abraham knows. God loves him and God's favor's on him. So he could say, why would you ask me to do this if your favor's on me? Why would you do this to me? Why would you do this to me? Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you think? Because I love you, Abraham. And your love isn't complete yet. And you've asked me to complete you. To be perfected is to be completed. That's what it means. To be made complete, right? And Abraham goes, okay, but, right? So even as he's taking his son up to an altar he's going to build and to kill him, right? It's like, I'm too old to have another son. You were too old before you had this one. And your wife was even older. Go ahead.
He tells the servants that went with him too when they travel. He goes, you stay here. You don't want to see what I'm about to do.
Oh, you might be next.
Yeah. He goes, you two stay here. And he goes, me and the boy will go on. We will go and worship.
Yeah.
And then we'll return.
Yeah.
Because he knows my obedience to Yahuwah is my worship. Yeah.
So what brought... Did God favor Abraham?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He's the only man on the face of the earth that's actually in a covenant with the Creator. That's favor.
Yeah. And everything in his life, he's been given everything. Yeah. He's been shorted nothing. Nothing. You couldn't ask for more than what Abraham had. And then he promises, I'm going to give you a son, and all these promises will be fulfilled through you. And, yeah. Right? But there's one little catch. What's the catch, God? You know he has a catch? Always?
Yeah.
Oh, you can look forward to it, right? Or not. I don't look forward to the catch. I just know it's unavoidable.
Yeah.
You know what? If I want this, I've got to give whatever he sets in front of me. I've got to go through it, whatever it is. Whatever it is, I've got to, and I've got to give him what he wants.
So when those circumstances happen, you go, this looks like a Jewish shoe dropping. It's the other shoe.
You know, when you ask God, will you bless me? Oh, yeah. They have a saying in Peru that came from us ministering to them. And some of this teaching was going on down there. And we used to say, Yahuwah bless you. So... when they were suffering, bad things were happening, we'd say, Yahuwah, bless you. You're being blessed by Yahuwah, right? And they started saying the saying, no more God bless you, please. They did with a little accent. No more God bless you, please. Right? My accent's not so good. Did it sound a little Latino, tiny? Did it sound a little Latino, tiny? Tiny, tiny, tiny.
a little. And I remember David one time, we're on the phone, he goes, please, Yahweh, no more bless me. Right? Why would you say that? Because you're going to make me kill my son. When you bless, it hurts like a son of a gun. Right? It's like you light my hiney on fire. What are you doing? Right? But once we understand this, once we understand this, you're drawing near to me, aren't you? Unfortunately, yes. Right? Unfortunately, yes. Right? This is going to really hurt, isn't it? It's going to hurt you more than it hurts me. That's what he tells us. Right? But at the same time, if you walk into this, the same as Messiah did in the garden, not my will, but your will, because I love you more than me, whatever you ask me to give up, I want to give it up. I don't want to hold one thing back. Right? Pastor Linda, I've shared this many times at the very end of her life. She was in a coma. They couldn't get her to respond, nothing. And they called me and said, Pastor Doug, she's almost gone, and she can't respond, she can't talk, she can't sit up, she can't do anything. And would you pray for her, right? I'm like, of course. And we were on, I don't know if it was Skype or, I don't think it was Facebook, but I think it was Skype. And I've shared this before, and they brought her a little laptop over to her with my faces in it. They can see me and hear me. And they put it facing her, and I could see her, and she looked almost dead, or dead. And I said, Linda, she opened her eyes. And people were like, oh, the gasp in the room. I want to talk to you. She sits up. She goes, oh, Pastor Doug, right? She was seconds from being gone. And I don't know if it's an hour or two later, whatever, she passed away later, right? Did you have something?
I just have a question while you're telling this story. All these stories you're telling, is he answering your prayers? And is there a reason for that? Thank you.
Do you want to draw near to him? You have to give him whatever he wants. You have to become everything he wants you to be, what he wants you to be. Not what he wants me to be or somebody else to be. You have to be what he wants you to be, and you have to find out what that is. And so I called her name, and she sits up, opens her eyes, she sits up, and she goes, Pastor Doug, I love you so much. Right? I go, Linda, I love you. I love you. She goes, Pastor Doug, I want to ask forgiveness. I go, I have nothing against you. She goes, no, I want to repent and ask forgiveness for my church, for their response, and for my response to this whole thing. I said, of course I forgive you. I've never held anything against you. Linda, I love you. She goes, I just needed to tell you. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, she passed away.
Can I share something?
Go ahead.
I was sitting there when you were talking with her on the phone, and she was very emaciated, just terrible. But there is something etched in my mind that will not leave. And that's where when they sat her up, she threw her arms forward towards you, toward the camera, whatever it was, and she just pulled you in close.
Yeah.
And then she began to weep. She was weeping and repenting. You know, those things change your life if you'll let them. Either you're watching, you're part of it, or you're going through it.
Amen. Did Father listen to her repentance? Did he hear it? And she came to the place where she goes, I messed this up, didn't I? I'm so sorry. Now I understand. But the judgment was still on her, and she had to face that judgment, right? Go ahead.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So there comes a day of accountability. And one of the scriptures that is in the notes is that the Father doesn't like it when we repent, not with all of our heart.
Yeah.
Or in the Amplified, the scripture shows at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And repentance at the end is better than not.
Yeah.
But when scripture says today is the day of salvation, all these decisions he's asking all of us to make continually as we walk with him, there we either respond to him and we walk with him, or we harden our heart, and if we're not careful, it can end up in deathbed repentance,
yeah,
like it did with Pastora Linda.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to point out was that there was very real consequences that affected her life, her assembly, all the lives that she was supposed to touch, the testimony of her life, and you know, did he accept that repentance at the end and she made it in the kingdom? I believe so. That's very sweet.
Yeah.
But when he comes to us and says, I want you to deal with this in your life, yeah, his requirements and his conviction, it's to him, it's not a suggestion.
Uh-uh.
And if we respond, we can course correct and we can get it right if he's convicting us. If we wait till the end to respond, we may sneak in. We may find repentance at the end, but we might have missed the mark for what our life was intended to accomplish in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And that has eternal ramifications. So as you're talking, I'm just thinking about when we come and we hear the message on Sunday or the Bible studies or we're in prayer and he's showing us things. We have limited amount of time to respond to him.
Yeah.
And the fear of Yahuwah will keep you from evil. And at some point, it's going to show up in the assembly in a big way. And there is an hour of accountability. That's it.
So let's look at this for a second. Sane, or thorn, right? God's favor was back from Linda, Pastora Linda, and she's going to die. And it's judgment. Okay? But what happens is, she's in a coma, she's almost gone, and they can't get her roused. They can't get her to wake up, open her eyes, she can't get her to talk. And they bring the computer, and I say, Linda, and she opens her eyes. Boom. And she's got her wits about her. Boom. And they sit her up, and she starts to repent and weep, right? The thorn is the hurt when we don't give him what he wants, and he stays away from us. I can't draw near to you because every time I do, the pain of your holding your heart back from me is too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. Do you understand? It's the thorn. It's the thorny fence. They use that word for thorny fences. So you would build barricades around their homes and different things with thorns to keep animals and people out, right? When I draw near to you, the hurt that you give me hurts me. And I can't get close to you. And I can't put my favor on you. Because every time I get near to you, the pain of what you're doing hits me and it pushes me back, right? So I have family members that I haven't seen in 10 years, maybe longer. Close family members, right? And the reason I don't see them is because they're abusive. They are very abusive towards Heather and I. They're rude, crude, mean. They're just nasty. And they won't stop. And no matter how nice we are or what we do, they're just like, just nasty. Lie behind our backs, say things, do things, attack the assembly. They're just nasty, right? I love them. I love them. I would give up my life for them, right? But I can't draw near to them because of their abusive behavior. I can't. I won't put my family through it, and I can't anyway. They'll just, the more I get close, the more abusive they become. They're like a thorn to me. The love is still there. The closeness is not there. This is God. This is how God draws near to us. You can say, well, if I'm just holding this little thing out, that's the thing he's after. What? I thought it was the big stuff. This is the big stuff. It's little to you. It's big to him. What makes him draw near to you and his favor to come out on you? You know, with Abraham, God chooses him way before, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He goes, go for a walk, Abraham. Where am I going? Not going to tell you. Just go. Okay, for how long? Not going to tell you. What will my life be like? Oh, I'm not going to tell you. Will it be good or bad? Not going to tell you. That tells me already it's going to be bad.
You'll be blessed.
Yeah, you'll be blessed. Oh, no more Yahuwah bless me. Right? Why did he call Abraham while he's still a sinner, while he's still in darkness, while he's not walking right with him? Why would he call him?
Yeah.
Because I know, just like Jacob, when I ask him, he'll give it to me. Whatever I ask him, he'll give it to me. I know him. Right? And as Abraham, what does he have to do? Okay, I got to start walking. I don't know where I'm going. Everybody thinks I'm retarded. Right? Imagine his servants. Where are we going? Heck, I don't know. Wow. It would be better than here. Don't have a clue. Are we going to suffer? Don't have a clue. God's leading you? Oh, definitely. Where's he leading you? I don't know. Is it true?
It is.
Right? I don't know where I'm going. I am not knowing. That's the India, when we had India with us. I'm not knowing where I'm going.
That's right.
That's how Abraham answered. He's like, I don't know. When he's going to take his son up on the Mount Moriah, right? He says, son, where are we going? We're going to obey God. Who's going to obey God? We both are. One of us willingly. Both of us willingly, maybe. Go ahead.
You know, Isaac said, no more God bless you.
No more, please, no more. No more God bless you.
When he called Abraham, he shared his heart with him. Right before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, you go to Genesis 18.
Yeah.
And the Father wanted to answer Abraham's prayers. And he says about him in chapter 18, verse 19, he says, for I have known him.
Yeah.
That he would instruct his children in the ways of Yahuwah,
yep.
So that Yahuwah will do what he has told him he will do.
Yeah.
He already knew the heart. Abraham had to walk it out. But then once he did, Abraham, now I know. Well, who knows? Now we both know.
Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Gentile nations.
That's right.
He's our father. And what that means is he's our example. What example? The thing that you don't want to give up is what your father wants. Give it up. Give it up. Right? That's Abraham shows us the way, the same as Yahushua shows us the way. Right?
That's right.
If you want to get close to him, it's going to cost you dearly. How much? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Isn't that what Yahushua did in the Garden of Gethsemane?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's exactly the same thing, the example. And so Abraham and Isaac are a type of Yahushua and his father.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly, right? Just, you have something? You're jabbering at each other, I don't know. You need a mic, though. Definitely need a mic.
Here you go.
I thought they were whispering sweet nothings for a minute, but then, no.
Ooh.
I don't know what a sweet nothing is.
Yesterday at the intercessory prayer meeting, we were going through all this, and I saw and shared that all this that we're going through is the opportunity to come to the place that Jesus did in the garden to yep. make that decision, yep. and that is the trial that we're coming to, and we have to go through.
Yeah. So Yahushua's in the garden, right? He's struggling with this in prayer. Why is he struggling?
Yeah.
Think about it. He knows what's coming. And he's like, oh, shoot, right? I have to make this decision now. And then once I make the decision, this will die. And I'll follow through with everything that's about to happen, right? So he's struggling like sweat, like great drops of blood off his forehead. He goes back to the boys. Hey, boys, wake up. The boys are sleeping, right? He's like, what the heck? What do you think he was thinking? He says something to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You jackasses. No. What does he say to him?
Could you not keep prayer with me for 1 hour?
1 hour. Right? He comes back how many times? Twice? Three times?
Yeah, because he prays three times, yeah.
And they're sleeping. Right? So what's going on with him? Let me think about this for a minute. God, I'm facing the biggest decision of my whole life and the final decision that's going to cost everything in a horrible way. I need my brethren to support me. They're not supporting me. You've left me alone. You've left me in this garden alone. Nobody's even praying for me now. I've got to make this decision all by myself. You do. You do. You have to make it yourself. Nobody's going to help you. Nobody's going to pray you through. Nobody's going to strengthen you. You're alone in the garden with him, and you make that decision every single time. Are you with me so far? And you go, I don't want to face this. Who does, right? Who wants to face this? But the point is this. He wants to ask you to give up what will cause your heart to love him the way he created you.
Yeah.
It's precious, isn't it?
It is.
It's really precious. Horrible. Awful, but precious, right?
I don't want to have any thorns sticking out of me. I can't draw. If you try to draw near to me and you're covered in thorns, you're not getting near me. I want, those thorns have got to go. They've got to go. I've got to become something I wasn't. But right now I'm mad because you've left me alone. You've left me to go through this by myself. Yeah. Because you have to. Do you understand? This is sweet, sweet love. Do you have something?
I was going to ask, I love the description of the thorns. And you said we can't have any thorns with Yahuwah where we basically won't give him what he wants. Or we won't love him the way that he requires. And I was going to ask, are there real ramifications in relationship and in the spirit for us rejecting him?
Yeah.
And is that why the penalty the Father put on Yahushua, it was the crown of thorns.
Yeah.
This is the cost for rejecting. And it was why when Abraham...
That's why I forsake him.
Yeah.
The crown of thorns. I didn't have that. He just gave you that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's why he had to lift off, because this was the penalty. This was the penalty for what you've done to my heart because you've rejected me. And this is the only way that I can accept this sacrifice for my son, to make a way for you to come back to me. And it's the same reason that when the Father called to Abraham from heaven and he said, Abraham, Abraham, now I know that you fear God, that you love me. And because you have done this, I myself swear I will not withhold my son, right? You have not withheld your son, so I'm going to bless you and I'm going to do the same thing, basically, what he's saying prophetically. And then Abraham looks up and he sees a ram caught in the thicket, thorns.
Thorns.
Yeah, by the horns, which is... The horns are, he's in the strength. Messiah's right in the middle of it, the strength of his ministry. He's 33 and a half. He's right at he's at the apex. He's in the strength of his ministry, and he sees him get caught by the horns in the thicket with the thorns.
Yeah.
And he says, Abraham, don't forget to fulfill my type. You offer this ram in place of your son. And this is how Abraham, this is how Messiah could say, by the way, Abraham saw my day and he welcomed it. Because he saw prophetically, this is what the Father's going to do for all of mankind, to pay a terrible price to bring us all back to him, to give us a chance to bring us back to him. And then when you realize the price he's paid and the price his son's paid, and it's like in prayer, the sin you don't want to give up, this is the hill you want to die on? That doesn't hold water.
So the Father lifts off Messiah, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because you have a crown of thorns. The sin of all mankind is being placed on you, and I can't come near you. It hurts too much to look at you. I'm pulling back from you. Because this, the thorns, the sin that's on you, is too much hurt to watch you go through this carrying all their sin, right? Now, it's temporary because God draws back to him, right? We can change who we are in his eyes by the decisions we make to overcome. And we can get rid of our thorns so that when he looks at us, all he sees is his son, and he's drawn near to you, and his favor will rest on you. Well, I don't have much ability. It has nothing to do with that. It's what you give him from your weakest point in your private time, who you are to him. And what you give to him and what surrender comes through you to him. Are you with me so far? Okay. That's when the favor comes. So when you see favor on somebody, so Esau was upset with Jacob, wasn't he? The same as Cain was with Abel. It's the same thing. You have his favor and I don't. Well, you suck. That's why. You're nothing but a thorn. Right? You're a thorn to him. If you give him what he wants, he tells Cain,
yeah,
if you give me what I want, won't it go well with you if you do what's right? Right? Is it true?
Yeah.
Okay. So we could say, this is, I don't want to overcome. I don't want to face this. This is the whole test. This is the whole test.
And it's our response. And the faster you respond to him, the faster he draws near to you. The more you give him what you want, he wants, the more favor is on you. You go, wait a minute, I want his favor, but does it have to come with suffering? Yeah. Yeah, it does. Right? Well, I thought favor was to make me feel better. No. I want to draw close to him because I love him and I want to please him. And if he asks me to sacrifice something in my life so that I can please him, I want to then. I want to. Right? Be careful when you say, I want to. Really think about it as you make the decisions to surrender that you really, the want is not a joyful, physical, emotional, I can't wait. It's a, oh shoot, this is going to hurt. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, if that's the heart response we have towards him, will he want to answer our prayers? And if he answers our prayers, will we experience manifest presence in our lives in a personal way? One of the scriptures that dovetails with this, I believe it's John 9:31. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners.
Yeah.
He listens to the godly man who does his will.
Yeah. Why doesn't he not listen to a sinner? Because there's thorns. There's a hedge of thorns there. It's like, no. If I get close to you, all I get is hurt. It's like my relatives. If I get close to you, you're just going to hurt me. I love you, but I can't be close to you. I can't. Because there's something wrong with you, right? Did you ask something, Pastor?
Yeah, this all goes, you know, what Messiah did in the garden, obviously this goes back to the Garden of Eden, right? And once they rejected his way of love, now the ground will only produce thorns and briars.
Yeah.
Cain's offering came out of that. And Messiah's wearing those thorns on his head, which is, our way of thinking is completely backwards to what he wants. And when you were talking today about this love is going to come out of our heart that has never come out before, if we are born of his seed, only through our death can this life come out.
That's right.
And that's being born again.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep. Yep. This is so important. Today, while we're bringing the message, you're watching a manifestation of his spirit. Jay is bringing information that I didn't have about the thorns. You didn't know about the crown of thorns being tied to this. This is Father moving right now. With them, with us, he's moving right now so that we can understand this. And it's very simple. It's not a new thing that we're hearing today. It's just with deeper understanding that we're hearing it, right? But it's always been to give him your whole heart, your whole mind, all your strength. When you hold something back, that's your idol. That's your God. It doesn't matter what it is, whatever the sin is, right? It doesn't matter. You can't hold anything back from him because that's what you put between you and him, and that's the thorn that keeps him from drawing close. The joy of suffering in order for him to draw near to you,
yeah,
that's a deep joy. That's a deep peace. That's an understanding, a confidence in who he is, that even when you put me through the difficult things, I know your purpose is so that I can get closer to you, that I can overcome what I don't want to surrender, and that I can begin to love you. Right? There isn't anyone here that hasn't struggled with something and kept telling God, I'm going to stop, I'm going to change, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And they didn't do it, they didn't do it, and they didn't do it, right? They haven't done it. Sometimes their whole life, they've got something, I know I'm supposed to, but, and I've said I'm going to, and I've made a decision to, but then I never do it, right? That changes when you decide, he's too important to me, I'm not going to lose him.
Amen.
Being close to him is too important to me. And so if I have to overcome this, if I have to change, I'm going to change. This is going to change. It's going to change now. And when we say, well, you know, I've come to this decision 10,000 times and I haven't, it's what you hold on to that you won't let go.
But if you have confidence in God, you know that he's called you here for a purpose, not here. He's called you to that place for a purpose. Amen. He's called you to overcome so that you can become like him and love him the way Yahushua loved him, and to have the heart that he wanted to create in you, in his image and likeness, right? All of us can do this. There isn't anyone who can't. Well, I get mad when my circumstances stink. Really? Really? So if everything goes well with you, you'll be a better Christian? No. If everything goes well with you, will you do more? No, I'll do less. If everything is a blessing, will you give more to God? No, I'll give less. I'll give less. I'll be focused on what I'm getting and what I'm doing. Right? Does this help? We can do this. Did you know that? There isn't anyone here that can't. We all can. Right? It's time for us to face the things that we don't want to face and let them go.
Amen.
And it's time for us to take hold of him and go on with him and let his favor come on us. But we know when his favor comes that we will suffer more. Yeah. Right? Favor equals suffering. So when you go out in the field and you're ministering, you will suffer the whole time. The whole time. And then you look forward to getting home, and when you get home, you'll suffer more. Because you're wiped out from the trip, you're going to suffer more when you get home. It's miserable. It's just pure misery. And as soon as you're just about over the suffering, he'll ask you to go again. It's like, oh, shoot. It's so true. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's all yours, buddy. I just had a little bit to share.
That's what I thought.
You.
Gosh.
Next time, respect my vow.
Hey, when you sent me that, I was like, I wish we were putting some money on this wager. Well, that's a lot to take in. You've heard the heart now that leads into where we're going, and we'll just cover just a little bit of it. Is Yahuwah answering your prayers? And depending on how long we go here, gosh, I feel like we're pretty full. But now you know the heart of why he answers prayers. Why he answers some and why he doesn't answer some. So I'll ask these questions, and we'll get through just a little bit of this. Wow. When you ask him to move on your behalf or on behalf of others, does he answer your prayer? And all day we've been talking about what's the heart that will lead to you wanting to hear my prayer. It says in John 9:31, the man who was born blind who was testifying to the religious leaders. He was born blind, and there's a manifestation of God's presence and healing comes, and they don't want to accept what's come through Messiah. And the man born blind testifies to them, and he goes, look, we know this man is from God because God doesn't listen to sinners, right? So there's a manifestation of God's presence, which we've been talking about, manifest presence. We know that the Father wanted to answer Yahushua's prayers because of the walk that he had with him, because of the heart that's been being talked about all day. In John 11, when Messiah goes to raise Lazarus from the dead, would that be manifest presence? That's a whole lot of power. You've been dead for 4 days? That's a whole lot of power. That's a whole lot of manifest presence. And he goes to pray, and he already knows what's going to happen because the Father's showing him, and he says, Father, I ask this, and I know that you hear me. And he says, Father, I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of those around me. Well, then we couple that with 1 John 5, and he says that if we know that God hears us when we're in prayer, we know we've received what we've asked. This is the heart that he wants to answer prayers. Wait a minute. So if I'm giving you what you want, and I'm loving you, like Pastor Doug's been talking about, I'm overcoming, I'm giving you everything you want, not what's convenient. I'm giving you what you want from me in all things. You show me something in prayer, I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to forget about it in prayer. I'm going to deal with it until it's overcome and my conscience stops condemning me and you move me on to something else. Not I've decided to move on to something else. Not I prayed about this and I kind of got some understanding. No. Until you change in your heart and there's breakthrough, you give him what he wants. Then you're in the place where he wants to hear your prayers. And scripture says if he hears your prayers, you know you've received what you've asked. This is the place Messiah was walking in. Father, I know that you always hear me. And if you're in the place where he hears you, scripture says then we know that we've received what we've asked for in prayer. So is there, again, is there a reason he listens to some prayers and to some not? Let's cover just a little bit of scripture. Psalm 66, 16 through 20. Come and hear, all you who reverently and worshipfully fear God. Anyone here fall into that category? A few, okay. And I will declare what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him. He was extolled and high praise was under my tongue. Now listen to what David says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he gives you understanding of a decision he wants you to stop doing or a decision he wants you to start doing. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Yahuwah will not hear me. Why does he answer some people's prayers and some people he's like, you look thorny. I can't draw near to that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Yahuwah will not hear me. But certainly God has heard me. This is the heart that says, no, I am walking in righteousness. I am giving you what you want. How do I know if I'm giving him what he wants, Pastor Jay? Your heart will stop convicting you. His presence will come to confirm your walk and your response. How do I know if my heart is right? He will want to answer your prayers. How do I know if he's answering my prayers? Manifest presence will be seen in the hearts and lives of those around you. Paul says, even if my conscience is clear, it doesn't mean I'm in a good space. He says it's the master who will judge me. He knows if it's clear. He knows if you're giving him what he wants. This is why your prayer life is so important. So the psalmist says, certainly God has heard me. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. In other words, he has heard me and he is listening to my prayer. Blessed be God who has not rejected my prayer. So what are you pointing out here? Some prayers he answers, some prayers he doesn't. These are his rules. He says he hasn't removed his mercy and loving kindness from being as it always is with me, where you're in communion with him. James 4:3. NIV, he says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Uh-oh. You mean, again, there's requirements that if I ask, he's going to answer my prayers? And again, I'll go back to my opening question. Why does he answer some people's prayers all the time in his presence, in his favor, his manifest presence, his power is with them. His favor is on their life in every way. In some, not so much. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Uh-oh. For what I want as opposed to what he wants? Let's look at it in the Amplified. Or you do ask God for them, for these things, and yet fail to receive. I want to be in the place where he wants to answer my prayers all the time. I want to be in the place where I move his heart. I want to be in the place where he wants to draw near to me so that when there's a need in the kingdom around me, I can step in, give that person what they need from him, pray for them, have him move to confirm the right message. I want him to listen to my prayers. You want him to listen to your prayers. You want to be in the place where he wants to manifest through you. He says, do you not receive, you fail to receive because you ask with wrong and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it in sensual pleasures. So we see from these scriptures, there is a requirement that your heart becomes his heart in order for him to answer your prayers. So if you come to the place where Yahuwah wants to answer your prayers, and again, a lot of this is just recap of what's been said already. And he wants to move because you pray, that will lead to manifest presence in your life. And we know that he gives his manifest presence, Acts 5:32, to those who obey him. We know those who obey him, John 14:15, are those who love him. So what is one of the underlying things that manifest presence we've been talking about for a year and a half? Well, I need you to move through my prayers. What prerequisites do you have? What requirements do you have of me, Father, that you want to listen to my prayers? And then you see in quotes, because you ask, I will move, which was the testimony of Isabel that I wanted to get to. Is the manifestation of his presence in your life, in and through you, directly tied to your love response to your Creator? I think we've covered this all day. Again, why does Yahuwah listen to some prayers? If I'm hearing this today, you know what that makes me want to say in my heart? Father, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you everything, and there isn't going to be anything you show me that I'm going to say no to you on. You show me where the test of love is. You show me where I'm not like you yet. You show me where my love needs to mature, because I want to be in the place. I'm accountable for my heart, and all I can do is give you my best, and I got one shot to do this, okay? I want to be in the place where every single time there's a need and you want to move and you look, your eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth looking for a heart that's fully devoted to you, and you go, I want to move through Kevin today. I want to move through Pastor Doug. I want to move through Corey. I want to come to the place where every single time I'm in the place and you say, I can trust you with my heart. I'm going to give you understanding. I'm going to open a door. I'm going to step out. I'm going to give you a door to pray for someone for healing or whatever the ministry need is. And then I want to answer your prayers because I'm pleased with your heart. I want to confirm to this person that what you're saying is true, that the message that you're sharing with them about righteousness, the message that you're living is true, and I'm going to confirm it through you with manifest presence because I want to listen to your prayers, okay? So again, why does he listen to some prayers? We've been talking about it all day. Why does he not hear the cry of some prayers? You ever think about this as a Christian before today? Did you ever stop and think about it? Jeremiah 14, 11 and 12. Yahuwah said to me, speaking of Jeremiah, who was appointed of Yahuwah, he says, do not pray for this people for their good. Hold up. Wait a second. What prayer? Hang on a second. You mean there's real ramifications? I thought we were talking about prayers being answered. Now Yahuwah's like, don't pray for them. There are real ramifications to responding to the Father and giving him what he wants, and giving it to him when he wants. A repentance too late, he will not accept. What do I mean by that? Judgment was hanging over Judah in Jeremiah's time. And if they want to repent at the end for the wrong reason, because they're like, judgment's coming, I better give him what he wants, when they could have given him what he wanted all along. He'd been calling to them since the days of Moses with the law. Tell him, here's my requirements. This is the foolish virgins at the end who try and repent when it's too late because now they're afraid of what they're about to lose. They're not giving him what he wants when they can at the right time. When is the right time? Today. Today is the day of salvation. So he tells Jeremiah, do not pray for this people for their good. Well, you don't read that one very often in Sunday school, do you? Though they fast, I will not hear their cry. Oh, what a warning. So I can come to the place if I reject him and reject him and I reject him and I act like a Democrat named Jack, right? That would be jackass, right? If I act like a jackass long enough, you're going to get upset with me? Yeah. There's very real ramifications. Look at what Pastora Linda went through. She repented at the end, but she had her time to obey or not, and she went home. So he says, because they won't repent at the right time, though they fast, I will not hear their cry. Oh, that kind of puts the fear of God in me. I better give you what you want when you want it. I better not play with sin. I better make sure you don't have to talk to me about this more than once. And though they offer burnt offering and cereal offering without heartfelt surrender to me, they give him lip service, they're double-minded, they say one thing and they don't follow through, or they offer something to me in surrender, but they offer it too late. Oh, God, that puts the fear of God in me. Because if I offer it too late, now I'm offering it because I see the judgment that's coming and what I'm going to lose. This is the foolish virgins in Matthew 25 who see that the five wise are ready to go and they've had the testimony of them in front of them the whole time. And then they see what they're about to lose, and they're like, well, I'll give you what you want now. And the Father says, too late. Why? Because God is not mocked. It has to be an offering of love, Pastor Doug. Go ahead. Well, you had something.
I do, but...
Yeah, I know. Are you coming up? You're sitting there.
I didn't raise my hand. I didn't raise my eyebrows.
Your hand was up in the spirit.
So, also, I got to share with... So, and we've heard the testimony many times, and Dale well knows... that I was supposed to go on a fishing trip with all my buddies. And the Father comes to me and he goes, you're not going on this trip. There's going to be calamity, serious calamity on this trip. And you don't need to go through this. This is what he said to me. But he also, without saying it, made me understand, don't tell them.
Yeah.
they're going to go through this.
He can speak so much and the understanding comes.
Yep.
Right.
And they did go through it, and it was calamity, and they almost lost their lives, and they had a horrible time, and it brought deep repentance in those men. Amen. But he shows me, you don't need to go. It's like, what? What?
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to go. Whatever he wanted from them, he didn't need from me because I'd already given it to him.
Yeah.
And that I wasn't to tell them or to pray for them. Let them go through this. They need it. Exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
Yep.
This is what they need, right? That's excellent. So he says, if they come to me and their surrender is not heartfelt, which Pastor Doug touched on earlier when he talked about being double-minded, saying one thing, doing another, not following through. If it's not heartfelt, if it's not real, well, how do I know if it's real and heartfelt? Well, because you pray about it and you change and it's in your past and you move on to the next thing. That's when you know it's heartfelt. He doesn't come and convict you about it so that I want you to have to talk to me about this every week in service for the next 20 years. And he's like, you look kind of thorny. I'm serious. Hey, it fits.
No, it does.
If the thorn fits, wear it. No.
If the thorn fits, wear it?
If the thorn fits, you wear it.
Okay.
Yeah. Just don't get too close to me. Don't get poked. So he says, if the surrender isn't real, he goes, I don't want anything to do with this. If you offer it too late, I'm not going to accept it because he's not mocked. If it's not based on love and now all of a sudden it's based on a fear of what you're going to lose, now judgment's coming, it's not based on love, he doesn't want that. He says, I won't accept it. And he says, instead, I'll consume them by sword, famine, and pestilence. Hang on a second, Yahuwah. This is the prophet of Yahuwah called to tell your people to repent. It's too late. They had their chance. Why would you allow this to be recorded, Yahuwah? Don't you want us to make it? I want you to make it. But I want you to learn from the mistakes of others. That if you don't respond to him when he asks you to respond, the day can come when there are very real ramifications that are permanent and eternal. Go read the book of Lamentations Jeremiah wrote after this. All the lamenting over all of the people that went into captivity and suffered because of their sin and unfaithfulness to Yahuwah. How about Isaiah 1:15? And when you spread forth your hands in prayer imploring help, I will hide my eyes from you. Uh-oh. Because they were in a state of rebellion. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now, if you go read that entire chapter of Isaiah, the first chapter, it is an exact description of where the Church of America is today. That has become a harlot, right? And he comes to the point, I won't go into all of it, but just go read those 31 verses. He says how the faithful city has become a harlot, right? And he talks about all the hypocrisy in him. And he's like, you can come to the place where I don't want to hear your prayers. So that's why if you're convicted, today is the day of salvation. That's why I said, if you hear his voice today, when I got up from worship, and I said, you have decisions to make, make them. Amanda, you have something. We'll get her a mic.
Can we, in response to the judgment, can we accept that and repent in our hearts and just accept that there are things in my life that I've realized that I have not responded to correctly? Can we accept the judgment and the consequences and repent in our hearts?
So he's still calling you. Are you pushing up daisies yet? Are you 6 feet under? No. He's still calling you. Can there be ramifications for sin that was in your life that was unrepentant? Absolutely. But he's still calling you and convicting you. Every decision you need to make, you can still make. You're here today. You're hearing this message. Did you want to add to that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Would you unplug us? Cause
too much power.
You stay up here.
Okay.
This is a misunderstanding in the church. So when you sin and you repent, can God still punish you in this life? But he's forgiven you. He forgave you. It's covered by the blood. Yeah. There are ramifications. It's not every time. And some are worse than others. That's why whenever I've gotten sick or pain or suffering or things are going wrong in my life, no matter what it is,
I go to him and I go, I deserve this, and thousands of times more. There isn't anything that happens to me that I don't already deserve, and I should have been judged and gone to hell already. So I can't complain about anything that I'm suffering because I'm not suffering what I should. I tell him this all the time. So whatever happens in my life, it doesn't matter because I deserve this. But really, I deserve so much more, right? And your favor's on me. It's always been on me. How can I complain about things that are going wrong when I deserve them? So when we sin, you may suffer in this life. You might have sickness or other problems, financial, whatever. You will suffer in this life for things. Some things are sins unto death. Yeah. Some are not.
Yeah. And those sins that are not unto death, you're still here. Today is the day of salvation. You're not pushing up daisies yet. You still have a chance to make it right. To Pastor Doug's point, can you still suffer ill ramifications? Absolutely. You can make decisions that are sin that he forgives you of, and he forgives you of the penalty of, but well, why do I have to go through that? Well, it's a constant reminder of the wages of sin is death. It's a constant reminder of if I continue in selfishness, I'm sowing the darkness, I'm going to reap that, right? What he allows us to suffer and go through is exactly what we need. Before we come into the kingdom, after we come into the kingdom, there's never a time it's not perfect. So let's look at this a little bit more. We got a little bit of time. So, after everything we've said today, why does Yahuwah listen to some prayers? Which we've been referencing this today. John 9:31 to 33. Messiah heals a man born blind. The religious leaders hate it. We hate this guy. He's making us look bad, and now he healed a man born blind. No one has ever heard of this. So they're interrogating. Go read John 9. They're interrogating the man. How did he do this? What happened? He tells them. They finally ask him again. Well, I already told you. You want me to tell you again? And they're like, you're this man's disciple, right? They hate this. They're looking for any way to discredit him. And this man born blind is testifying to the religious leaders. And this is where we pick up. And he tells them, because he goes, look, we know that God, Yahuwah, does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. So I'll go back to my question that I opened up with. Why does he answer some prayers? And I asked earlier, does he answer your prayers? Do you have a track record of him answering your prayers? And if you don't, can you course correct and come to the place where he does answer your prayers? Stefan, which one of these weeks, we'll get to Stefan. By the way, his name is Victor's Crown.
Yes.
Just like Messiah had a victor's crown of thorns, right? He's overcome. Eventually, thus it is written, brethren, we will get to that. So he says, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Oh. Is my heart about doing your will? Or is it my will? Have I given you what you want? Have I come to the place where you draw near to me and you want to listen to my prayers? Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. This is unheard of. This is an outstanding miracle. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You need his power in your life. You need the manifestation of his presence to testify to others, those that will make it and respond and those alike that won't. That know this is the right message, to love God, to walk in righteousness, to come out of sin. You want that testimony. This healing, this miraculous healing, is testifying to all the religious leaders who aren't going to make it that what the Father was saying through Yahushua was accurate and it was the real thing. You need his testimony. Well, don't I need him to answer my prayers for my sake? Yes. So it's a reflection of your heart for him, but the Father's also interested in testifying through your life, the testimony of your life to others. Some will come in through that testimony and make it, and some your life and testimony will testify to them of the truth, and they won't make it. But you want him to listen to your prayers for the testimony that's supposed to come through your life. So he says if he wasn't from God, he couldn't do anything. Now, let's look at John 11. I referenced this earlier. Here's Messiah. If this man wasn't from God, he couldn't do anything. John 11, Lazarus. Hey, Lazarus is sick. Should we go hang out with him? No, let's wait a couple more days. This is going to make a much better story. Well, what are we going to do for 4 days? Just relax, Peter. It's okay. Right? So finally, after 4 days, Mary comes out, boobing and crying. If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. Martha comes out. What? You messed up. Oh, really? Thank you. Since you're in the flesh and you don't understand what's about to happen? Hey, take me where you've laid him. there's a bad scent. He's been there 4 days. He's been on a mission trip for 4 days. We all know what happens in the jungle. So they go, they take away the stone. John 11:41, they take away the stone. Then Yahushua looked up and said, is he in the place where the Father wants to hear his prayer? And is he the pattern son?
Yeah.
And are we supposed to be like him?
Yeah.
And if he overcame, can we overcome? 1 John 2:6, anyone who claims to be in him must walk as Jesus did. These signs will accompany those who believe. His manifest presence, in a nutshell, will come out of them, including healing. Because you made the way back to the Father, now I can live just like you lived. That's what my Bible says. They take away the stone, then Yahushua looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. You know when you know that he hears you? When there is a clear conscience, and you are loving him, and you're giving him everything he wants all of the time. You're after him, and you have a track record of loving him and obeying him, and you have a track record many days, weeks, months, and years of loving him. And when he shows you something, it's like, how quickly can I get it out of my life, right? There's a track record. There's a confidence. There's a trust in him, and he trusts your faithfulness, where he wants to move on you. He wants to draw near. Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I already know that you and I, this is what it should be. And if Yahushua knew, did the Father know? The man who loves God is known by God. So the Father knows, Yahushua, I know you love me. Yahushua knows, I knew that everything was right, that our relationship is based on love. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So you're going to move and answer Yahushua's prayer to testify to who he is, to testify to his words, to testify to the message that's coming through him, and also to confirm that Yahushua has been sent from the Father, because he's in relationship, to go speak to them in their religion and say, this is the way to love the Father, so much so he can say, I am the way, John 14:6, I'm the truth and I'm the life, just do it like me, guys. Love the Father this way. And I want your manifest presence and your power to come through me, because our relationship is in such a place that you want to answer my prayers and you always hear me, and these people will know that you've sent me. So every single... Now, what happens after that? Lazarus comes out. Let's take the grave clothes off of him. Someone give him a bath. Right? He's been in the jungle for 4 days in Peru. Right? Someone give that man a bath. But the testimony. And then he says, take the grave's clothes off of him. Everyone's like, oh my God, this is the Messiah. That testimony isn't that far in Bethany. Gets back to Jerusalem. The leaders are like, we got to kill him.
Yeah.
This guy, if look at what he's done. If we let him go on, the whole world is going to follow him. I thought that was the point for the Messiah. We don't want him to be the Messiah because it makes us look bad. Oh, now we've gotten to the real point. So I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit, so that the testimony, everyone will know that you've sent me. Now, what does it say in 1 John 5? Did you want to add to that, Doug?
In a minute.
Okay. 1 John 5:14. So he says, I know that you always hear me. You heard me, and I knew that you hear me. The relationship is right. 1 John 5:14. Hang on to what he said in John 11. Cross-reference, parallel passage. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If you're approaching God, what would we call that? Drawing near. And when we draw near, we're doing it through prayer. I want to be in the place where you hear my prayers. This is the confidence we have in prayer, in approaching God. Will prayer between me and him, Jay, or for someone else? Yes. Check all that apply. Here's the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, not my will, but your will be done. If I'm already in you, I'm in you, you're in me, we are one operational unit. Whatever you want to do today, I'm going to believe you and please you and be your hands and feet. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I already know you hear me. Messiah goes, I already know. I know you always hear me. And if we know that he hears us, well, we didn't come to this party for nothing. We didn't get all dressed up for nothing. You didn't open this door for nothing. If you're leading me, I already know you hear me. And if you hear me, then I already know this is a done deal. I shared the testimony last week when I was in Mountain Home the first time, and I'd seen the vision of the person in the back row in the corner coming up with the word of knowledge that got healed from the heart murmur. Right? I saw it all before it happened. I'd never been in the assembly. Never been in that building. Saw the building before it happened. I get there, I introduce myself, I take 5 minutes, and I go, oh, by the way, someone's got a heart murmur, and I want to pray for you real quick. The person right where I saw in the back corner on the left gets up, walks up, even comes and stands right in front of the stage, right at the angle I saw them standing in the vision. So as I'm walking down the stairs to go pray for this person, I'm laughing. I'm laughing because I'm like, there's not a snowball's chance in hell this person's not getting healed, right? There is a confidence that he hears us, and I knew that in that place he was already hearing me. It was already done. So it's like, this is a done deal. Father, have your way. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him.
Something's going on today between Jay and I. It's significant. The scripture says that we would come to a place where we are one, where Yahushua prayed. He's calling on me. I don't look at him. I don't signal him. I'd like to throw things at him, but...
Not again.
This is very powerful, what's happening. I wasn't expecting this. But the scripture he read, so... Father was already speaking to me, and then before Jay brought this scripture in 1 John, I'll read it again. It says, this is the confidence we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. So this is scripture, right? This is solid. We can't get around this, can we? But do we see this? Is this Church America? Think about it, right? Okay. So I'm going to share something with you, and I'm going to ask you not to talk to people about what I'm about to share with you. Is that okay? Because when you talk to people, you're going to make problems for us. But I want you to remember what I said. Is this okay? I know some of you can't shut your mouth, and we will suffer for that, but hopefully most of you will, right? I've shared this before when the Father spoke to me, and he said, Doug, the day will come when everyone you pray for will be healed. That's a strange statement, isn't it? Don't forget I said this, okay? Now, when that day comes, what will happen in our assembly? They don't have a building big enough. When those who were ministering in healing back in the 50s, they would get a building that would hold 80,000 people. There'd be 85,000 waiting outside that couldn't get in. Just because the miracles were happening so fast, right? If people think that's coming, they'll start showing up for that. But we don't want them showing up until it's time. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is important, okay? Hold this in your heart. Just don't go out, oh, Doug's going to heal everybody. Don't. Stop, right? Just hold what I've told you in your heart so that the day when it comes, you'll go, he told us this was coming, okay? This is fulfillment of what the scripture says to all of us. Now, let's look at this again. This is the confidence we have approaching God, drawing near to God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. This is what's coming. For those who draw near to him, they surrender what they're supposed to. They overcome what they're supposed to. And he wants to draw near to them. As they draw near to him, we're going to see his manifestation happening in a profound way. And it's the same as the verses we read before this. So that they will know that you sent me. So that they will know that God has sent us, all those that are working for the kingdom. Not just in this church, around the world, those who are working for the kingdom to be, the promises to be fulfilled in the last days. Right? Did you have something?
So are you saying the day is coming where everybody that, not just you, but we pray for will get healed?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Because there's different levels. People have faith at different levels, right? And not everyone will pray for the sick. Everyone can, but not everyone will have a ministry that's up front. Who wants that? Where people are getting saved and healed in masses. But go ahead.
That scripture really just stood out to me. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's concrete. And then there's an if right after it. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. That then requires us to take a step of faith.
Yeah.
Because if he hears us and we know that he hears us, then we will ask and it will happen.
Yeah.
So there's a component of faith that has to go right along with that. And people don't understand that.
Yeah. When Father spoke this to me originally, I was upset. Because when you pray for people, if everybody gets healed, there are many who won't walk with God and their judgment will be greater. And that really upset me. I went to God. I go, I don't want to pray for people who are going to go to hell and their judgment's greater. I understand if you want to heal people and everybody, I understand. But this is troubling to my heart because I have prayed for people who have been healed and they did go to hell. The one in Bulgaria, the homosexual, you've heard that testimony that was healed and then he just wanted to go out and be perverted and he died in 3 days, right? For me, it's like personally as a human, I'm like, I don't want to pray for somebody and they get more judgment and they go to hell with greater judgment. It's not going to rest on me. It'll rest on him, the Father, and on them who are judged. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't like this. Now, when I tell God I don't like something, he already knows. I don't have to like what he's doing at all. I'm human. I'm flesh. I have my own opinions. Did you know that? And I may not like something he's doing, but I'll do whatever he wants. And I'll do it willingly and wholeheartedly. I won't hold back because he knows more than me. I'm ignorant of his purposes and his ways. I don't understand how he thinks and how he reasons. I don't have the same wisdom. I'm just flesh. And so I accept that. I accept that. Okay, maybe I'm stupid in this area. Right? That's okay. I trust you and your wisdom. Whatever you want, we're going to do this. We'll do it gladly, even if I don't like it. Amen? This is coming. The fulfillment of these scriptures are coming for the last day move of God when the man-child ministry goes forth, right? I'm going to throw you a little something to chew on the way home. So who's the head of Israel right now? Benjamin Netanyahu. Do you know what that name means? Son of my favor, called of God. That's a man-child. Benjamin's a man-child. Pardon? Yeah, I should look it up to get it exact. You want to look it up for me? Look up Netanyahu, what it means, real quick. Google it. Make sure we get this exactly right, because she wants to hear it repeated. Benjamin is son of my favor, son of my right hand. That Benjamin is the man-child. Remember we talked about Rachel and Jacob, right? So Jacob's fleeing with Rachel and the others, and Laban comes and goes, somebody stole my idols. Who stole my idols? We don't have them. Rachel's sitting in her saddle. She goes, it's that time of month, I can't get off the saddle. She's sitting on the idols, right? And what does Jacob say? Whoever has your idols must die.
That's right.
Rachel's about to die. But Rachel's the one he loves, right? Did you find it?
Yeah, I'm looking.
Okay, so she's about to die, right? She represents the church and the rebellion that's about to give up Messiah, which is Joseph, and Benjamin, the last day son. Benjamin is the last day son. You found it?
Netan, this Hebrew root means gave. Yah, this is the shortened form of the name of God in Hebrew. Therefore, when combined, Netanyahu literally translates to God has given.
God has given the son of my favor. That's what his name means in the last days.
That's right.
That's the man-child coming. That's the manifest. What we saw in the heavens, we've had the teaching on that, what the manifestation. Benjamin Netanyahu is the son of my favor that I have given. This is what's coming right now. We're in the last days. We are in the last days, right? The son of my favor, the one, right? This is what's about to happen. This is what's coming. So, do you understand what I'm trying to say? We're about to enter in. If we will, if we'll give up our darkness and we'll make the decisions, we can all be part of what he's doing. But it's him doing it. It's not some church or some leader or some special person or special group or denomination. That's not what it is. It's our Father's about to call in his bride in the last days worldwide.
Amen.
And we get to go out worldwide. I think that's good. I know it's painful. So right now, Tanzania is calling us constantly. We're getting all these people around the world. We're about to go out again. As soon as I get healthy, pray for me that I don't get healthy. What? As soon as I'm ready, I know the door's going to fly open. It's already waiting. They're waiting for us. I'd say 25 countries are waiting for us right now to go. Right now. And when we go, all heaven's going to break loose again, just like it always has. Every trip we go on. Amen? He's getting ready to touch this bride and bring her in, and I can't wait.
So are you saying more God bless you? Well, are you saying more?
Please.
More God bless you?
No more God bless you.
So we got to wrap this up here. So I didn't get to that verse, but I had that today.
Which verse?
John 17, 21 to 23.
Oh.
Father, that they may be one as we are one.
Yeah. Something's happening.
I know.
Spooky.
I and them, they and me, may they be brought to one thing so that the world may know that you've sent me.
That's in your...
Yeah, I just didn't get to it. Yeah. I think you have a lot to chew on today. Decisions to make. Father, we thank you for your presence that's been here today. Father, for the confirmation of who you are and your requirements. Father, those things that you've spoken to each one of us today, even now, we say yes to you. Father, I ask that these things would resonate in our hearts and minds as we go today in this week. Father, that every heart that's willing in this hour would hear you, have the opportunity to make these decisions. Father, to move on in you. We want to be your people in this time. Father, to be a people that you have desired to dwell in and through and amongst. Father, where your presence, your heart, you always feel welcome in these lives and in this place. So, Father, thank you for the way you've moved today. We say yes to you in the name of your Son. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. We'll see you next week.